about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Yep, 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 yep. Sissing on, yo, yeah, yeah, yeah!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Well, if you think I'm shifting my loyalties from Charles Manson to Paul McCartney, I'm not.
Bjorn Lurpis of the Pawnee Lurpis family. They were supposed to be a paunch burger in this lot next to my house, and then you strip my freedom by putting a park there. Now if I want to start my day off with a triple-decker pancake breakfast pizza, I got to go to the one that's 10 minutes away, and that makes me 20 minutes late to work every day. I work at home.
Have you ever considered not eating that for breakfast?
I'll never consider that.
And now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's Yep. Uh-huh. Check 1, 2.
Our feature presentation.
Check 1, 2 indeed, and welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Tuesday morning.
Yes.
Hey, kids, what's going on?
Hey there, Bean. How you doing?
I'm okay. How about you, Muggs?
That was a good sound check that you played there. I like that. I'm proud of that one.
Are you?
Yeah.
You be proud
you
of
do
the
excellent
sound check?
Work. You do excellent work, Muggs. If only you could develop some skills after the sound check.
Though,
once the mic is working, if then you had something to say, then we'd be in business.
I know.
As you know, I base my television news viewing on who has the hottest chicks on the show. And I have to tell you, ABC Channel 7 in the morning has really been stepping it up lately. Of course, Bree Winkler, who I'm desperately in love with, does the weather over there.
Uh-huh.
And then they've got Aisha Del Valle, who does traffic, who wears ridiculously inappropriate clothing for her age and the hour of day she's on television. So God bless her.
Okay.
And now they've got a new reporter out in the field that I just was introduced to recently, named Darsha Phillips, and she's on the scene this morning on a fascinating story. And of course, if Darsha says it, I'm interested in it because we're meant to be together.
I see.
But this is the story. Maybe Lisa, you heard about this Los Angeles woman, 74 years old, just released from prison last night after 32 years.
I did hear a little bit about that.
32 years in prison.
Yes.
She was with her boyfriend who committed a murder. Well, I'll let my sweetheart fill you in on the details.
Leslie, good morning. Well, Mary Virginia Jones was serving a life sentence without parole. And late last night, she walked out of the detention facility here in Linwood after 32 years, finally a free woman. Now, she was definitely greeted by a lot of tears and laughter from friends and family outside the facility.
By the way, before we hear from the woman, I don't think that I would have any friends or family left after 32 years in prison for murder.
That just crossed my mind as well. There would be like one family member. That's it.
Yeah. Like, who is staying friends with you if you're in prison for what they think is going to be the rest of your life? Don't people stop? Don't they drop off the visit log after the first year or two?
Pretty much. And who's still believing that you're not guilty?
Right. I mean, you're the ultimate out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
And she had quite a crowd of old ladies who were out there waiting for her. So she definitely did a great job of keeping in touch.
Now, Jones was serving time for her role in a murder back in 1981. Jones, who always proclaimed her innocence, says she was forced at gunpoint by her abusive boyfriend to drive a getaway car after he shot and killed a person he was dealing drugs with. Jones, now 72 years old, was very happy to be set free after so much time spent behind bars.
Okay, so she says, I didn't want to be there, you guys. I was forced to. I had no choice. He was abusive. He had a gun on me. I had to go along with it. Why it took 32 years, by the way, for them to come to the conclusion that she was telling the truth and she shouldn't be liable for it, I don't know.
I think this might have been, I thought I heard this was like one of those situations where a class of legal students took it on.
It is. It's UFC Post-Conviction Justice Process, project, rather. They're the ones who brought it back to the forefront and started petitioning the court and got a judge to hear it. So they're the ones clearly responsible. This woman dies in prison if these young students from USC don't get involved. Who do you think she thanks when she gets out of jail as she's met at the courthouse steps?
I should hope the students at USC.
Well, my thoughts are I thank God. I give him all the glory and all of the praise because if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be out. He gave me a miracle. Isn't that good?
Okay.
If I'm one of those students, I'm pissed.
I'm super pissed if I'm one of those students.
Look, you could have got in there.
But hey, over here. here?
God let you rot for 37 years.
Who's doing the paperwork, bitch? That's what I'd be saying right now.
Seriously.
Look, every time we bring up something that has to do with religion, we get complaints from listeners around the country who are devout. And I am in no way trying to criticize you for your beliefs or the comfort that, spirituality or religion brings you. But if you could email me and explain why God gets the glory for her getting out of jail after 32 years, doesn't God also get some of the blame for her wrongfully going to jail for 32 years? Or does God... Doesn't God only ever seem to get the mention if it's a win?
Yes. Yeah. It's like a team that wins. They thank God, but if they lose, of course, that God had nothing to do with
God had nothing to do with that. Please explain the distinction to me, because I honestly, sincerely, I'm not mocking. I don't understand why God gets thanked for you getting out of jail if you shouldn't have been in jail and you've been there for 32 years. You've lost half your life in jail.
Yeah.
But God only swoops in at the last second and lets you out, so it's his deal? And by the way, then she is hustled into a car. No mention to the kids at USC. Not a word for them.
That really stinks.
It kind of does. Darsha, though, she didn't forget.
Now, law students from USC's Post-Conviction Justice Project challenged Jones' conviction. The LA County District Attorney's Office conducted an independent investigation, and then the DA agreed to set aside the convictions, offering a time-served sentence.
32 years, though. Man, what's your life like now? Boy, do you have a... Boy, you talk about how you're behind on TV, Lisa. What does she have to... What has she got on her DVR that wasn't even invented when she went into jail?
Everything would be so new and confusing. She'll never figure out how to work a DVR.
She's going to go home and she's going to say, all right, what do I have to watch? And people are going to say, oh, dude, Friends, seriously, let me get you the DVDs. Here's episode one. Go.
Start here.
She has seen nothing.
Seinfeld. She won't understand that.
Oh, you're going to love Seinfeld. It's so funny. Anyway, so there's some good news, I guess. I'm happy. She seems like a very nice lady, but a little credit to USC this morning. That's all I'm saying, all right?
All right.
Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
Well, I don't either. Actually, good show today because our friend Joe Latrullio is going to be on the program today, who is hilarious. He's one of the stars of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yep.
Great, great actor. And he's been in so many things over the years that we love. Everything from, you know, Children's Hospital to The State. Just he's our kind of actor, our kind of funny man. Joe's going to be on the program today. Also, Howie Mandel in studio with us today.
Very cool.
We got tickets to see the new Captain America movie. Ralph's got a chance for you to win those before you can see those in theaters. We've got a brand new What's Up with Florida on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to be looking for your stories of cheaters' revenge on the program. Got a great story about something that a woman did when she found out that her boyfriend was cheating on her that was about as public an embarrassment as you could come up with. But we want to hear what you have done, because I'm certain that our listeners are great at cheater revenge. It just sounds like it's right up their alley. And Lisa, you're going to be very excited.
Yes.
In less than an hour from right now, we're going to catch up with Cody Simpson's number one fan, our little 12-year-old Kevin and Bean fan, Leah, is going to talk to us about what Cody's been up to on Dancing with the Stars.
Excellent. I love Leah.
He was very close to being eliminated last night.
No.
And I was terrified that we were going to face the wrath of a 12-year-old superfan who would be weeping into the phone.
Oh, my God.
But he did survive to dance another day. So we'll talk to Leah next hour. All that plus Rob's got the showbiz beat. That's next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. You're listening to the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Hey, yesterday, right after we got off the air, Kat Corbett debuted a brand new song from the Black Keys.
Oh.
Do you hear it yet, Ralph?
Yeah.
So good.
Great song.
Right?
Yeah.
It's called Fever. Anyway, we'll play that for you again between 6 and 6:30 this morning. Brand new Black Keys coming up on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. Good morning.
I got my new idea for my new sci-fi movie. Hope you all watch.
All right.
I trademarked it. Don't try to steal it, thieves.
So it's safe for you to say this on the air now because you own it.
Yep.
All right.
It's based on a news story yesterday. Did you hear about these firefighters? They were orchestrating a controlled burn on about 150 acres in the Rocky Mountain Wildlife Reserve. So they're burning all this brush away, you know, trying to clear the area to avoid further, more dangerous fires. And a dust devil appears out of nowhere, blows into the flames. The fire got sucked up into the funnel, ignited a tumbleweed. The result was a 200-foot-high twister of fire.
Ha ha!
That was so out of control, the crews had to run for cover.
Oh my God.
They're calling it the Fire-nado. Fire-nado! Fire-nado! A tornado of fire! Fire-nado!
Wow. Now, the tornado
TM,
of fire...
TM. Fire-nado TM.
Sure. Is also what David Copperfield had on that television special that he did. Remember?
That was manufactured. That was a controlled situation. This was a tornado of fire! 200-foot high Fire-nado TM.
Did they have to call in more firefighters to contain it?
They had to take cover. They split. They took off. Too much for the firefighters to handle.
What's it called again?
Fire-nado TM. What the hell was that?
Just girls screaming.
Doesn't sound like girls screaming. Sound like a llama being tortured.
I'm the wrong person to know what girls screaming sounds like.
Ain't that the truth? All right, here's some showbiz news for your Tuesday morning. Sad news. Former teen idol David Cassidy was ordered to enter a alcohol rehab for 3 months.
Oh.
After pleading no contest to his drunk driving charge yesterday in Los Angeles. He'll also have to serve 5 years probation, pay fines, take part in a 9-month alcohol education program. But look, it's better than going inside at the age of 63 and doing some time. So,
yeah.
Come on, get sober. That's what he'll be saying. Everybody's pregnant. Everybody's pregnant. Everybody. Lisa May's pregnant, Beer Mug is pregnant, everybody's pregnant.
I don't think so.
Stacey Keibler, newlywed Stacey Keibler, is expecting a baby this summer. She and her new husband, Jared Pobre, are extremely excited and eager to start a family. This guy married a couple weeks ago in Mexico. And Mila Kunis has announced that she is pregnant with Ashton Kutcher's baby.
That's unacceptable, by the way.
That's completely acceptable. They seem like a lovely couple. They seem very nice and very happy together.
They should have a surrogate or they should adopt.
Oh,
come on.
Come on now.
Look at her. Come on, Ralph, with the Mila Kunis. We don't want to screw that up.
Come on
right?
with the Mila Kunis.
We don't want to screw that up.
Think of
the children.
I am thinking of the children. Speaking of thinking of the children, I was looking at the further pictures from the Vogue shoot that were released yesterday. This, of course, has the controversial cover story of Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, and there's a ton of other photos from that shoot that were released. One of the pictures has little Northwest lying on her dad's belly while he's shirtless, wearing a leather Prada pants. It's just, it's just a giant cluster F. And I was looking at that little child, and I just felt this just pang of sadness.
Yeah.
Because I said, there's no way that kid's going to grow up okay.
No.
That kid is going to be Rich Kids of Beverly Hills times 100. It's going to be a snotty, entitled, arrogant douchebag of a person. And there's nothing anyone can do about
it. Kid doesn't have a chance.
Not a chance
with
in
those
the
families.
World.
Yeah.
Right? This poor kid who's so innocent and sweet right now, you look at that little baby, there's no way she's not going to grow up to be an entitled, just arrogant, rich, snot-nosed little bitch.
Yeah.
That made me so sad. That
we need to steal her. Okay. We need to Raising Arizona her.
FBI, that's Bean, Dr. Bean at krock.com.
How old's the baby now, Ross?
Not very old. What,
2 months, 3 months? Something. Oh, even more. Okay.
Yeah, more than that. 6 months, maybe?
Already wearing leather jogging pants?
No, it was naked in the picture.
Okay.
Yeah, no little tiny jogging pants, but I'm sure.
How many motherfuckers you done seen with a leather jogging pant?
Well, not your child. Yeah, you should make baby leather jogging pants.
There you go.
Diapers. Leather diapers. Get to work on that right away, Kanye. And while we're talking about rappers and moguls, Diddy is now going back to Puff Daddy. Sean Combs.
Come on.
Who was Puff Daddy for a long time, then was P. Diddy, then just Diddy. Now he's Puff Daddy again.
Are you not entertained?
No, I'm not.
Are you not entertained?
No, I'm not.
Stop it.
He's got a new album coming out, and it's going to be released as Puff Daddy. He's going back to Puff Daddy.
I'm asking you as a man to stop this immediately.
I'm exhausted. Simply.
That's not, we should not call him Puff Daddy.
No.
He does not get the opportunity to go back.
You got to pick. You gotta pick a side.
Seriously, you only get five names in your life, all right, Sean?
That's how I feel. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Aretha Franklin is 72 years old. Today, musician Elton John turns 67.
I'm just saying, Aretha Franklin and Elton John, that's a pedigree of greatness right there on one day.
Yeah, everybody born on this day is good. Marsha Cross, the actress from Desperate Housewives, she's 52. She's a good actress. Sarah Jessica Parker, 49 years old today.
Won the Preakness in 88, right?
It was 88, yeah.
Oh, you guys.
Race car driver Danica Patrick's 32. Actress Jenny Slate, who we love, is also 32. Catherine McPhee celebrates her 30th birthday today. Ryan Lewis of Macklemore and Ryan Lewis is 26. Big Sean is 26 as well. And Ali Mikalka of Ali and AJ fame is 25 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the time the bar closes and you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home tonight.
I think Fun should sue. The Black Keys ripped them off, man. It sounds exactly like their song.
Damn it.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Are we ever going to play it, Muggs?
Next song.
Okay. New Black Keys called Fever coming up. First, though, I got a question for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock for Tuesday morning. What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
Well, the Sunshine State once again this week is back in the news with all the greatest news. Something about the people in Florida. I don't know if it's the heat, the humidity, the alligators, George Zimmerman. Something's honking up the whole state. Every week, we can't believe how many stories are coming out of Florida. And this week is no exception. Jason Buchanan is the man, 33 years old, walks into a bar in South Daytona, gets into a fight with several people as he starts to leave. He orders 80 shots of alcohol.
What?
80 shots of alcohol. It doesn't say here how many he drank. Yeah. Then he sets fire to a trash can in the bar, in the bar's men's room. Then as he tries to leave, multiple people try to stop him. He punches them all in the face, including one man who was over 70 years old. Doesn't say how long he was in the bar, but by the time the police arrived and he left, he had all of these charges racked up. Criminal mischief, aggravated battery, defrauding an innkeeper, assault on a law enforcement officer, battery on a person 65 or older, and first-degree arson of a building with people present. So that's an adventure in a bar right there. That's a man who knows how to maximize his time inside, doesn't he?
Yeah.
University of Florida campus has had a problem that's been going on for a couple of weeks now. Now, three more women have been added to the list. The Gainesville Police Department are looking for the urinator. He is going around and peeing on women. He comes up behind them and pees on them.
Oh, God. That's disgusting.
How is that a thing? Like, what's the look, I understand whipping it out for the thrill of it, if you're an exhibitionist or something like that. What do you get out of peeing on somebody from behind?
I don't know. That's an emotional problem.
Suspect is described as a 25 to 30 year old 6 foot tall black man of medium to chunky build with short curly hair, dark complexion, last seen wearing a gray or dark hoodie and baggy jeans. If anyone happens to be going to the University of Florida, you see that dude and only that dude, and he is the urinator, please contact the police, would you?
Maybe he thinks he's a dog.
He's just marking his territory. Yes. Maybe that's all that's happening. Here's a 32-year-old Ocala man. You don't see this very often. Here's a guy who the police didn't have to go after. He decided to turn himself into jail. He was wanted for a violation of probation. Maybe he got a notice in the mail or something like that. So he decided, hey, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to step up. I'm going to be a man. Uh-huh. I'm going to show up, and I'm going to put myself in jail. Well, he was so drunk when he arrived that he could not find the door to the jail. So he was walking around the building, banging on doors and windows as he staggered to and fro. Eventually, he did make it to the booking entrance. A corrections officer tried to talk to him, but he got into a fight with the corrections officers, screaming, yelling, and throwing blows. He was very, very drunk. He was arrested, even though he was going to be put in jail anyway. He was arrested, and additional charges of battery have now been added to his problems.
Well done, sir.
Well done, indeed. Here's a party situation out of control. Tim Baer, 32 years old, lives in Orange County, Florida. Was having a problem with his neighbor last Friday night at around 10 o'clock. He lives in Harbor Beach there. He apparently had had a fight with the neighbor about how loud his music was. He was listening to his music too loud. The neighbor kept coming over, kept complaining, hey, your music's too loud. Hey, turn it down. Hey, it's late. I'm trying to sleep. Hey, I've got a family. Hey, turn it down. Well, what our friend Tim Baer did is produced a hand grenade and threatened to throw it into his next-door neighbor's apartment. Yes, it was a real hand grenade. When the police arrived, they asked the man, is it live? Can it blow up? He was so drunk, he could not confirm whether the device was live or inert. They did evacuate. They did bring in the bomb squad. They did hollow out the grenade, and they said it did have a live fuse inside, was a danger, had to be destroyed by the hazardous device team. Could have blown up. What's a 32-year-old drunk guy in Florida in an apartment complex doing with a live hand grenade, you guys?
Holy crap. And the guy next door never got any sleep because then he had to evacuate.
That's
right. What a crappy night.
He did not realize that the man's music being too loud was the best part of the night, that it only got worse from there.
Oh, my God.
And finally, in this week's What's Up with Florida, here's a guy named Bradley Starce, 18 years old. He was making out with a woman during a rib roundup at the Cruzon Amphitheater. He also, by the way, had his penis hanging out of his pants at the time that he was making out with a woman.
Was he drunk?
Of course he was drunk. It's Florida, Lisa. Police came up to Mr. Starris and asked him to identify himself, to which he replied, hey, you're the deputy. Why don't you find out on your own? He was then handcuffed. Deputies found a metal flask containing alcohol. He told deputies numerous times that he was above the law and that police officers are the scum of the earth.
That
Look, I don't know a lot about being arrested. I do know that doesn't make it go better for you when you start complaining the police are the scum of the earth. This is all according to the deputy's affidavit. He also rallied against the deputies because they interrupted him before he had the chance to have sex. At least that's a legitimate complaint, by the way. Hey, I already had my pants down. What are you doing, man?
She was ready.
Why are you a C-blocker? Deputy sniffed the contents of the metal flask. The man, Mr. Starris, told them, hey, don't bother. You couldn't even afford them, and continued to call them names. So he was facing charges of indecent exposure, possession of liquor by a person under 21, giving false identification to an enforcement officer. It does seem to me, based on the stories that we do every week, is that nobody just gets arrested for one thing in Florida.
Look, Florida has a drinking problem.
It certainly does.
Florida has a drinking problem. They're just racking up charges.
It has a human problem. Yeah. They need to cut it off and let it just float away. And that's this week's What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Great stuff. Brand new Black Keys music. That is called Fever. The album is called Black Keys Turn Blue, and that's going to be out on May the 13th. World premiered that for you yesterday here on K-Rock, and I suspect we're going to be hearing a lot from them.
Yeah.
So, Lisa, remember a few weeks ago when the cast for Dancing with the Stars season 18 was announced, and we were not overwhelmed by the star power. We recognized a couple of names.
Yeah, mostly we weren't familiar with the star power. That's the problem.
That's actually more accurate. Of course, we knew Drew Carey, and we knew Candace Burke from Full House. We knew Billy Dee Williams. A couple of names we knew, but there were a bunch that we didn't know, including Cody Simpson. And we got a very irate email from a Kevin Bean listener named Leah, an 11-year-old sixth grader, who wrote in and said that Cody Simpson is her favorite. Like, she loves him. She's met him a bunch of times, seen him in concert. He's a great entertainer and a great example and a great athlete and just a great everything. And she was so excited and she was outraged that we didn't know who Cody Simpson was.
Yes.
And we spoke with Leah at the time and seemed like a good fit. And we said, Leah, when he's on Dancing with the Stars, as he is now, you give us a call back and be our correspondent. And that's exactly what we're doing, because Leah joins us back on the Kevin Beach Show on the phone right now. Hi, Leah. How are you, my dear?
Hey, Leah.
I'm good.
Good.
So yeah. What's it been like having your boyfriend on TV every week? You love it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Now, I was thinking about you last night, because I don't know what time you normally go to bed, but Cody danced last, which means that you had to stay up until 10 o'clock to see him on TV. Did that work out okay with your folks?
Yeah.
Okay.
they don't mind. They're going to allow you to stay up whatever time you need to for Cody, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, here's what it sounded like as he took to the stage last night.
All right, Aaron, I'm standing in front of my security team here. Last up with a tango, the teen sensation who earned the judges' praise for his youthful exuberance.
Dancing the tango, Cody Simpson and Whitney Carson.
And they showed a bunch of girls that looked like they might have been your age or a little bit older who were in the stands that were holding up signs about how much they love Cody and how they were rooting for it. And I was a little bit surprised that you weren't there in the audience, Leah.
Yeah, well, I put my email and stuff, but they've never called me back. So.
Oh, I see. So you applied to be part of the audience, but you haven't gotten a message back from them yet.
I've applied multiple times.
All right, so tell us what we've been missing, because we have not been watching the show. He was on last week, and obviously he did not get eliminated, and then he was on again last night and did not get eliminated. Tell us how Cody's been doing.
He's hypnotizing, first of all, and he's been doing really, really good with Whitney.
You say that, but wasn't he in the bottom two last night? Wasn't he very close to being sent home last night?
Yeah, but he wasn't going to be sent home.
How come? Because you love him that much?
No, because Angel's been voting for him and calling for him.
I don't know what that means. Angel? Who's Angel?
Angel's his fan base.
Oh, I see.
Wait a minute. I thought you guys were the Simpsonizers. Isn't that what you told us last time?
Yeah, it's two fan bases, though, because he had two names for us.
Okay, so are you an Angel or a Simpsonizer?
I'm both.
Okay. Tell me about, I know you love him and you think he's cute and you love his music, but tell me about his dancing. Is he any good at it?
Yeah, he's great.
Then why was he so low?
Because they're hard on him.
Because he's so cute?
Probably.
Hey, look, Leah, I know what that's like. I have been misjudged my whole life just because I'm so cute. Here's a little bit of an interview that Cody did, which got an awe from not only the crowd, but from the beautiful Erin Andrews, who's doing the interviews. She replaced Brooke Burke this season on Dancing with the Stars. Listen to how she falls under Cody's charms here.
I want to remind everybody at home, these dances you guys performed are because this is what you wanted, like when you first came on the show. So yeah, tell us why. Why the tango?
Well, I saw a video of my parents dancing to the tango at their wedding, and I thought, why not make them proud, I guess, you know?
Aww.
Listen to Erin Andrews. Aww. Doesn't it just sound like he could take her right there on the dance floor if he wanted to, Leah?
Yeah, I thought that was really sweet that he did that.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the competition because, you know, he's got a long way to go to win this thing. Tell me what you think about some of the other dancers, Leah.
Well, Billy D, it looked like he was having a heart attack when he was dancing with three girls.
Yeah, well, he's a very old man, Billy D. Williams. He's like 70 years old or something, Leah.
Yeah, and I like Diana when she danced to the cha-cha-cha.
Uh-huh. Now, is she the swimmer? She's the old lady who swam to Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's already been eliminated. She's not on the show anymore, right?
No.
Okay. Who do you think is the best? I mean, if it can't be Cody, who else do you think is the most competition for him on the show this year?
Probably Danica.
Danica McKellar from The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good. How about you? How many times have you been voting?
I voted over probably like 30 times.
And how do you feel he's going to do? How far do you think Cody's going to go?
Well, with our help, I think he'll do good.
You think so, huh? All right, here's what happened. We got down to the very last couple of minutes of the show last night when it looked like there was a chance Cody was going to be sent home. And I was really nervous because I knew we were talking to you today. And I thought, I don't want to listen to an 11-year-old cry on the phone. So I hope he doesn't get eliminated. But here's how close it came.
All right, Sean and Karina. Sean, you've come into the show with an athlete's determination. Did the viewers vote to bring you back next week?
Cody and Whitney. Cody, you've brought youthful energy to your performances. Did your legion of fans vote to see you next week?
On this second week of competition, the couple with the second lowest combined total of judges' scores and viewer votes from last week, therefore the second couple to be eliminated tonight is...
So what's going through your mind at this point, Leah, as you're up 5 inches away from the TV screen waiting to find out what's going to happen?
Well, I knew he was going to be eliminated.
Wow, look at your level of confidence. Even though they were just getting ready to announce it, you had no question that he was going to be able to stay.
No,
that's impressive.
Sean and Karina.
Well, your man lives to dance another day. What's he doing next week? Do you know yet, Leah?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell us about it? Because we haven't really been watching. You've been watching the whole thing. What do you want us to know?
I don't know if you heard, but James Maslow he did a dance move, and then he said, "Can Cody do that?" And he was challenging us, and he only has 2 million followers on Twitter, and Cody has 6 million.
Well, then James Maslow doesn't deserve to live, right? Why is that guy even allowed on the earth if he's only got 2 million Twitter followers?
He's going to get big-time crushed, first of all.
Oh, no, you did! It's a smackdown between the guy from Big Time Rush and Cody Simpson. It's on! All right, Cody, well, I hope you and the other Cody fans are going to spread the word at school. You're going to get the word out and make everybody vote for Cody so he can stick around on the show, okay?
Okay. Yeah, I've already done that.
Okay. All right, Leah. Listen, it's good to catch up with you again. You tell your folks we said hi, and thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Have fun at school. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you, Lisa. Hey, a couple of very funny guys on the program today. Howie Mandel returns to the Kevin and Bean Show, and Joe Latrullio from Brooklyn Nine-Nine is also going to be joining us. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, now.
What's going on, man?
It is Tuesday.
Yep.
That means new releases, new CDs, new DVDs, new TV shows on DVD.
Yay!
New out on CD this morning. Out Among the Stars by Johnny Cash. I'm glad Johnny's making new music again. That's great news.
Wow.
I'm glad he's back in the studio and recording, because it's been a while. He's been off the grid for a while. But
now, this is an album that he recorded in 1980, Ralph, that was shelved. Columbia decided not to put it out. A completely finished album, and his fortunes were on the downside at that point, and they said, we're not going to bother putting this one out. And it's just recently been uncovered in the vaults, and it's finally going to see the light of day.
So the grave robbers have shown up.
That's right, yes.
That's sweet. That's nice.
Not good enough to put it out when you're alive, but when you're dead, sure, we'll cash in on that.
Shakira by Shakira. That's available on CD today.
Okay.
She couldn't put a little more work into that title?
Shakira by Shakira.
Shakira, that's all she's got? Yeah. Her new hit song, Shakira, from the album Shakira? Night Songs by Barry Manilow. And also,
I'm sorry, I missed one. I couldn't quite make out what you were saying there.
Night Songs by Barry Manilow.
Thank you. Couldn't stop me from buying that.
Could with a bullet.
Ladies and gentlemen, Barry Manilow.
No! Kiss Me Once by Kylie Minogue. New music from Asia. Gravitas. Woo!
Wow.
Asia!
Really?
Asia! And Glee, the music celebrating 100 episodes by the Glee cast. New DVDs today. The Wolf of Wall Street. The Delivery Man, starring Vince Vaughn. Welcome to the Jungle. With Adam Brody and Rob Hubel, Jean-Claude Van Damme. That's the movie about the corporate retreat on the island where they get stranded and they start eating each other.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Looks very funny. Scooby-Doo, WrestleMania Mystery. Oh, my goodness. Scooby, how you've fallen. TV on DVD, Californication Season 6, Continuum Season 2, Veep Season 2, and Key and Peele Seasons 1 and 2 in one box set. You can pick
that. That's worth picking up.
Absolutely. Those guys are the best. Monday, there was an event called CinemaCon in Las Vegas, and on hand was Paramount Pictures showing some footage from their upcoming films, including the Michael Bay-produced Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, and also Transformers, Age of Extinction, the new Transformers film from Michael Bay, starring, of course, Mark Wahlberg. He was there for the event, and he took the stage and said these words. Regarding the Transformers, I feel it's the most iconic franchise in movie history. Stop it. Shut up. I like Mark, but come on. The most iconic franchise in movie history?
That's absurd and stupid and dumb.
You think the James Bond franchise or the Star Wars franchise or the Harry Potter franchise or the Hunger Games franchise or Lord of the Rings franchise? You think I have anything to say about that? Stop
that's
it.
Unbelievable!
Yeah, that's balls. Look, I know he's there to sell the movie, but you have to keep it within the realm of possibility for us to buy it, don't you?
I think
that's not even in the neighborhood.
In music news, Neon Trees singer Tyler Glenn has come out as a homosexual in the new issue of Rolling Stone magazine.
Are you serious?
The Utah-born Mormon says he always knew he liked men, but it wasn't a big deal until he was in his 20s. He was dating girls, but then he fell in love with his straight male friend. He says Mormons are taught tolerance, but when Proposition 8 happened, he knew something was different, had to give. He started telling his close friends and family members about his sexual preference in late 2013, he said. And he said he has a ton of celebrities who have come out, especially athletes like Michael Sam, the first openly gay NFL prospect. So this news made very little splash, which I think is
what you're hoping for.
Yeah,
right?
What you're hoping for, yeah. And it's a move in the right direction.
It's because nobody cares whether you're gay or not.
Yeah, nobody cares who you have
sex. Essentially, right? Yeah. I mean, it's as if he came out and said, oh, by the way, I'm Mormon. We're like, okay, well, good for you.
Yeah. I'd rather him be gay than Mormon, quite frankly. That's just me. And in China, this is a great idea. There was a scrapyard in China. And the guys who worked there decided to get creative with all the junk that was laying around. So they built a giant replica of a Transformer. Speaking of Transformers, just like the one in the movies. The life-size robot started getting a lot of attention. And they were getting a lot of tourists coming by the junkyard. So they decided to build more. Within 4 months, they had created over 40 huge robots out of scrap and car parts.
Wow, that's really cool.
Including Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, and Megatron. Their limbs even swing back and forth.
So when does the movie company jump in and say, stop it, or start paying us for it?
They haven't yet. Visitors have come to view the robots from all over the country. And you can buy one for just $16,000. That's a creative way to recycle your junk.
That's a great idea, by the way, to build a Transformers theme park.
Yeah, I'm sure that's in the office.
I mean, it is the greatest movie franchise in history.
It's the most iconic, that's for sure.
That's what I've heard.
I want to give you a heads up. If you'd like to get tickets to our very special advanced screening of Captain America, The Winter Soldier, in just a couple minutes in the next segment, we're going to be doing a very special comic book trivia game. So what I need is my peeps. I need my comic book fans. I need my nerds, my geeks. If you know comic books, DC and Marvel, the entire comic book universe, we're going to be talking about legendary comic book characters that have Captain in their name. So 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call if you want to play that game. It's coming up next.
Not you, Roland.
Yes, Roland, absolutely. He's eligible. Celebrity birthdays. Aretha Franklin is 72 years old today. Musician Elton John is 67. Marcia Cross is 52. Sarah Jessica Parker turns 49. Actress Jenny Slate is 32. Catherine McPhee turns 30 years old. Ryan Lewis of Macklemore and Lewis is 26 years old. Big Sean, the rapper, is 26. And Ally McCulka of Ally and AJ, she's 25 years old. How about a little bell for Ally, by the way?
I'm not sure which one she is, but I'll take your word for it.
You bell. You better bell. Yeah. I will come right up there. I will fool you.
She is belled.
I will bell you like a monkey. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz.
So this Captain Amerikur, that's a thing, Ralph?
You're adorable. Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Yay!
Oh, boy, I cannot wait for this movie. We're going to have a special K-Rock advance screening. And we want to give away some tickets to true blue diehard comic book fans. We don't just want anyone just strolling into this screening. We want people who deserve it. So,
yeah, you got to earn it. You got to earn it.
Absolutely. So it has fallen to me to put together a little comic book trivia quiz. And since it is Captain America, I thought we'd take a look at superheroes and supervillains in comic book history that have Captain in their names. These are comic book captains.
Oh, you want to go see the Captain America movie?
Omar is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Oh, nice at the end there. Comic book captains is the topic at 1-800-520-1067. Ralph asked the question. If you get it right, no drawing this time. You actually win tickets to the K-Rock screening at the AMC Century City 15 on April 2nd. The movie is in theaters everywhere on April 4th. Ralph, your first contestant is our man Eddie. He's on line one.
Eddie, here's your question. This Marvel Comics superhero originally came to Earth as a spy for the Kree Empire.
Oh, my gosh. Captain Marvel?
Captain Marvel it is. Well done, sir.
Yeah, how about that? You're going to the film, Captain America, Winter Soldier. Well done, sir. Let's move down the line to Richard. He's up next. He's on line two.
Richard, how you doing, man?
Morning. I'm doing well.
Good. Here's your question. Leonard Snart is a...
Captain Gold.
It's Captain Cold. You're absolutely right.
How did you know that, Richard?
I love the Flash.
Yeah, he's a villain against the Flash. Of course, Captain Cold, congratulations. You're going to go see Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Thank God.
That was the fastest anyone has ever answered a question. Wow. All right, now so far I know we talked to Eddie, I know we talked to Richard, but we're going to have lots of ladies calling it,
I'm sure.
And I'm sure we're going to get right to the hot
young women.
Plenty of
women have tried to call in for this.
I'm sure. For instance, on line three, immediately let's go to Jerome. He's up next on the Kevin DeBeach Show.
Such a dick. Hey, Jerome, what's up?
Hello, what's going on?
You know your comic books?
Sort of. Yeah, actually.
Sort of. That doesn't fill me with confidence, but let's try this. A former United States Air Force officer named Nathaniel Adam was involved in an experiment involving a nuclear weapon and alien metal that changed him into this superhero.
That Captain Cross?
No, sir, I'm sorry. Captain Adam. Captain Adam is who we were looking for.
That doesn't even sound real. That sounds like one you made up, Ralph.
Well, Captain Adam, he's the real deal.
Thank you, Jerome, for playing anyway. Let's move along to the next young lady. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Chris. He's calling on line four. Chris is up next.
You're going to hear from the women who want to go to this bean.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Any minute now they're going to get to the phones.
All right, Chris. Here's your question. Billy Batson becomes this superhero when he says the magic word Shazam.
Captain Eldorado.
Captain Eldorado. One of the most famous superheroes in the world, Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel is what we were looking for.
Is there even a Captain Eldorado, Ralph?
No, there's not, as far as I know. But there's either the Captain Marvel from the Marvel world, there's a Captain Marvel from the DC world. That's why it was sort of a trick question.
Let's go to Adam. He's on line five. He's up next. He might know some girls.
Yeah, well, I'm married.
Oh, good man. You. Good man, Adam.
And I'm sure your husband's a comic book fan, too.
Oh, man. Here is your Captain Comic Book superhero, supervillain question. This Australian supervillain, Digger Harkness, uses his returning weapons to battle the Flash.
Captain Boomerang.
Captain Boomerang is correct, sir. Well done.
Obviously. Obviously, Digger is Captain Boomerang. Everybody knows that.
Digger Harkness.
Stupid.
Captain Boomerang.
How about Henry? She sounds adorable, I'm sorry. That's a man as well. Henry's next. He's up on line six, please.
Is this the last pair? Is this all we have to give away?
We got more people on the line. However many questions you got?
Okay, I just didn't know how many pairs we had to give away. Okay,
we have five altogether.
Okay, how many have we given away so far? That's what I'm asking. Four, right?
I thought it was only three. Who's keeping track? Lisa, Muggs, anyone?
No.
We know we have at least one more. Somebody do the math out there, please.
Okay, Henry, here's your question. This animated superhero appears when five eco-friendly teenagers combine their Earth-protecting powers.
Captain Planet!
Captain Planet, absolutely. Well done, sir. You're going to see Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Henry was winner number four, Ralph. We have one pair left, and it's going to be Jason on line seven if he gets it.
Hey, guys, before you ask me the question, Ralph, I just want to say congratulations on getting the DC job.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that, Jason. You're very kind. Here is, speaking of DC, this comic book superhero was from DC Comics in the 80s. It was a kid-friendly rabbit superhero that led a team of heroes known as the Zoo Crew.
It's Captain Carrot.
Captain Carrot, indeed. Well done, Jason. I'm
You're making impressed. This up. That can't be a real thing.
Captain Carrot and the Zoo Crew.
Was he a rabbit? Was Captain Carrot a rabbit?
Of course he was.
How is there a captain who's a rabbit? Oh, how is this possible?
You don't get it, man. Open up a blog.
You and Jason are just making stuff up.
We're not.
All right. Congratulations to all our winners. April 2nd at the AMC Century City 50. And you get to see, before it opens on the 4th, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. This has been Comic Book Captains.
Comic Book Captains. Comic Book Captains. Comic Book.
Tuesday morning on the world-famous K-Rock, Joe Latrullio from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, also Howie Mandel later on this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, it's been brought to my attention. There are still some seats left for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014, which is fast approaching Saturday, April 5th. Ralph, did you know that you can get some seats for as low as $25?
No, that's ridiculous. That's just giving away the comedy.
$25? You'd have to pay that much to see
virtually everybody on the bill, and you get them all for one night, and your proceeds go to benefit some great charities, the Fisher House and also the Cedars-Sinai NICU. Jim Jeffries is headlining for us this year. The great Patton Oswalt is appearing. Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Tony Award winner, Tim Minchin, by the way.
Yeah.
Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie Eft, our friend Taylor Williamson is also going to be there, and house music from DJ Mike Realm, plus all your Kevin and Bean personalities. It's going to be a great, great night. It's going to be at the Shrine on Saturday, April the 5th. Again, tickets as low as $25. Go to Ticketmaster or KROQ.com for all the details. They are going fast. We would love to see you there for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014.
When we talk to Tim Minchin, can we ask him about Tratton May?
I would prefer that that does not get brought up again.
I think we need to have a conversation about Tratton May when we talk to Tim Minchin.
I'm glad you're here right now, Ralph, because there's a story in the news that I know is very near and dear to your heart, because you've often said, don't cheat on your partner. That's one thing you've said. You're all for having fun, but don't do it honestly, right? Don't cheat on your partner.
Yeah, either have an understanding or end that relationship before you move on to the next one.
Because here's what happens if you cheat.
And not even so much for moral reasons, just because it's going to come back to bite you.
For your health.
For your health, yes. For your mental and physical health.
Cheaters' revenge is what we're talking about here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. We're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you were on either end of cheaters' revenge, you found out you were cheating on, and here's how you got back at him or her. Or you were the one who had the getting back done to you. This story out of Middletown, Ohio is what started it. Apparently, this woman found out that her former best friend was having an affair with her husband. Mm. So do you know, Ralph, from seeing this story, how she got a hold of a photograph of the two of them together?
I believe she found it amongst her husband's phone or computer or something like that there.
So he's taking pictures of him doing it with his girlfriend. He's cheating on his wife. So what she does is prints that photo out and then adds the phrase to the photo, hide your husbands, along with something that's not identified in the article that was apparently a more vulgar phrase. Mm-hmm. And she takes it down to where the woman works, a Walmart, and posts them all over the store.
Yeah.
That's misdirected anger, by the way.
Inside and outside the store. She just plastered the store with photos of this woman banging away at her husband.
This woman really is not the problem. It's the husband.
Well, it was her friend, Lisa.
I know, but
it wasn't
still.
Like she wasn't aware who this dude was and who the wife was, and she went ahead anyway. I think they're both equally to blame in this situation.
So the affair has been admitted to, by the way, but the woman who spread the photograph all over the Walmart store was arrested and charged with one count of pandering obscenities, which I haven't heard about it. I mean, is that for putting a sexually explicit photograph in public? Is that what that's about?
As well as the vulgar phrase, apparently, yes.
So how does that rank on the list of cheater revenges? Is that one pretty satisfying? Does that get the message done? Does that spread the word throughout the community of Middletown, Ohio, that both of these people are not to be trusted, you think?
I forget the end result for the cheater, for the woman. But didn't she lose her job at Walmart, too, if I remember the story correctly?
Oh, did she? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a bad deal for her.
That was pretty effective, yeah.
So did everyone work at Walmart?
No, I thought the woman who was cheating with the husband worked at Walmart. And I thought she lost her job. I don't
know. Oh, that would be satisfying for the lady who put the photos
out. She went. The other woman went to jail, so everybody loses except for the husband, I guess.
Yeah, apparently. He's just moving on.
Yeah.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your stories of cheater revenge. I know our listeners are very creative. I know they've been involved in all sides of the story. I did a little bit of research and took a look at some of the other things that people have done. Here's a woman in a city called White Rock who holds a lying cheating sale to sell all of her husband's stuff while he is out gone with his floozy. She organized a super quick garage sale, took all of his things while he was out of the house, and put a big lying cheating sale sign in her front yard and just started selling his stuff while he was out.
That's amazing.
I've heard similar stories where, on Craigslist, a Ferrari will show up for $100 or something like that, and it ends up being the wife selling off some dude's Ferrari because she found out he was doing the secretary or things like that.
You just better be right is all I got to say.
Yeah, really.
Here's another one. This is someone who went around to every home in the neighborhood and posted a sign. attention. Do you know who you live near? And that it included all of the pertinent details about her husband, his name, his photograph, how she found out that he had been cheating and with whom. Keep a lookout for him, on and on and on. I will be going to his job tomorrow and attending his church on Sunday to let everyone know the kind of man he is. I cannot physically harm him and risk losing my kids or going to jail, but I am spreading the word about this low-life loser. Put that on every house in the neighborhood.
My God.
That's rough.
Husband left us for a 22-year-old. House for sale by owner.
Yeah, there you go.
Here's another one. She put a big sign at her house. Dear neighbors, my husband cheated on me, so I have to move out. Thanks for the great memories. So it just goes on and on and on. And finally, and then we'll go to your calls here at 1-800-520-1067. There's a story, and it sounds too good to be true. I worry that this one might be a little bit of an urban legend, but the way the story goes is a woman found out that her husband had been cheating with multiple women. He'd been putting ads on Craigslist and meeting multiple women in hotels. According to the story that was in the news, this lady contacted some of those other women, and they all conspired to meet the guy at one time and glue his penis down. Now, does that seem possible?
Well, women do conspire to meet sometimes. That does happen, for reals. It happens.
Like one of them played the part of I'm luring you back to the motel for another go-round.
I remember this story. I remember this now. And then the other girls came out
and they held him down and they glued his penis to his stomach. Oh, and that was how they got revenge on him for cheating on all of them.
Yeah. Right. All the girlfriends were scorned at that point.
So good times. All right. Let's take Mark real quick before the break at 1-800-520-1067. Talking about revenge cheating stories here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Mark, thanks so much for calling. Tell us your story, my friend.
Basically, I was a law clerk at the time working at the courthouse, and the girl I was dating was a clerk, and I went to take the bar in another county with a friend of mine from law school, and she posted posters up throughout the entire courthouse and all around the vicinity, basically showing me in a mugshot with the words, "This man's a cheater, he has venereal disease." And
oh, no.
Yeah, it went better from there. That was the first 2 lines.
Oh, wow.
No. Now, you didn't say this, but did you cheat on her?
No, you know, the funny thing is, no, I did not. I mean, we were going down to take a bar exam. Having sex, to be quite honest, was the last thing on our mind during those 3 days, but then afterwards, absolutely. But no, I didn't during that period of time.
Because you thought you were taking a trip with this woman, that there was some relationship going on, but you were just going to take the bar?
Right. Oh, we went to another area because we heard it was easier to take the bar in San Diego than in, so we did that. And what made it really great was like at 3 a.m, my phone rings and it's this lady going, "Is so-and-so there?" And I'm like, "Who? What the hell's going?" She got her mom to call me like endlessly during the night. The first night of the exam, I had to turn my phone off and go to a different hotel.
Oh my gosh! So, what was the reaction from the other people there who saw your mugshot all over the building?
Well, let's just say I worked at that courthouse for another 10 years after I passed the bar, and if I had a dollar for every time those popped up whenever something was coming on, I'd be a rich man right now. It wasn't really pretty for the next decade, to be quite honest.
Wow. All right, Mark, thanks for the call. Alex, you hold on. Victoria, you too. Jeff, everybody, we'll get to your calls. Cheater revenge at 1-800-520-1067. More in a moment on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Listen to this while we're talking about cheater revenge here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Bean, a while back you had a segment about bad tattoos. A tattoo artist had found out that his girlfriend was cheating on him and tattooed a big dog poop with flies on her back. Remember? You had the picture on the K-Rock homepage. Thanks, Tom. Streaming in Atlanta. That's about the ultimate cheater revenge I could ever imagine, is being able to tattoo dog poop onto somebody's back, right?
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about cheater revenge based on a news story of a woman in Walmart found out that her husband was having an affair with a friend who worked there. She found a picture of those two in a sexual congress, shall we say, printed it out, put it all over the store. Mm-hmm. She got arrested. The other woman lost her job at Walmart. So we want to hear your cheater revenge stories. Let's start with Victoria. She's on line 4. She gets us going here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Victoria. Thanks for calling and holding on. What's happening?
Hi there, and hi, Lisa May.
Hello. Ding, ding.
Okay.
Ding, ding, indeed.
I'm not proud of this, but I found out he had cheated on me, and so I took some dog poo-poo, and I covertly went over to where he lived, and I smeared just a nice small amount on all the door handles of his car, and then I shoved it down in his, like, the windshield area, so he had a real bad problem with chewing his nails, so that was the point for him to open up his car, wipe off his hand, and smell something, but while he's chewing his nails.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it.
Now, I have to ask, first of all, how much better did you feel driving away after you had distributed the dog poop?
I was laughing hysterically. I was almost thinking about somehow going back in the morning and just watching him. I mean, I really do believe he probably opened up the door, just wiped his hand. I'm sure he was chewing on his nails.
Nice. I love that.
And secondly, Victoria, did he ever find out until this phone call that it was you that did that?
No.
Okay. All right. Well done. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Joe. He's on line three. Now, his story also involves a vehicle and poop. It wasn't Victoria that you were dating, was it, Joe?
No, absolutely not.
All right. What happened?
Well, I was the pooper, first of all. Good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hi there.
Yeah, I was living with this girl and found out she was cheating on me. So one of our mutual friends stole her truck clicker so we can get in and out of her truck in the middle of the night.
All right.
So all of us collected for a few nights Ziploc bags full of our own poop. We took it a step further.
Oh, man, that's
I don't
worst.
Like this story at all.
So we drove over in the middle of the night, and needless to say, we smeared all her windows underneath her handles, the inside, and we left the empty Ziploc poop bags in her truck.
Oh, my gosh. What a nightmare for her.
How would you even, like, move it to get it? Why? You would have to get involved.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
here's what we
did. You have to get messy to take it somewhere to get it cleaned. Absolutely, yeah.
Have you ever, you know, you pick up your dog's poop and you kind of grab it with the plastic bag and turn it inside out?
Of course.
Well, we did that in reverse. So we used it as a form of a poop glove.
Yeah. No, we get how you were able to do it. Lisa's asking how she was able to ever get it out of the car without sitting in it. You know, that's a mess.
Oh, yeah. Well,
this is the best breakfast conversation we've ever had on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Now, Joe, she knew you did it, right?
Yeah. I talked to her years later after it all kind of like we were growing up about it.
Yeah.
And she said as soon as she walked out and she smelled it, she knew it was me.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know that's how she'll always think of you. Thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate that. Let's go to Alex. He's on line two. He's got what sounds like a little bit of a complicated story where he used to work. Hey, Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on? And trust me, my story is not about poop.
Okay, thanks,
okay,
Alex.
Good. I think we've reached our limit on poop talk.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, long story short, I was working at the physical therapy clinic for a while, and we had this patient that was with us for about a month and a half, and he would frequently come in with maybe whether his girlfriend or wife, and she was pregnant at the time. And then after a month and a half, he was all done with therapy, so we let him go and he did his own thing. Well, we have these huge windows in the front that we can see, you know, almost like a 360 of our, in our clinic. And from our little driveway, you used to see him like 2 weeks after we let him go, come back with his wife, and then she would kiss him, and he would go to therapy. Well, 15 minutes after that, another car would pull by, and it was another woman, and it would pick him up, and then they would go.
And oh, my God.
And this happened for a really long time. And then one day, you know, same thing. Oh, there's that guy again, comes in with his girlfriend or wife or whatever, kisses her, and she goes. And then we see the other car pass by. Well, she makes a complete 360, parked in a place that you probably couldn't see the car. And as soon as that other car picks up his girlfriend or whatever, they start leaving. She rear ends the next car.
And oh, so my gosh.
We don't know how she found out, but that was pretty gnarly seeing that.
So his alibi was, oh, honey, drop me off at physical therapy. I'll see you in 2 hours. Then he would have a different girl come pick him up. They'd go off, do the thing, and then he'd come back and get picked up again. You know, my wife still thinks I'm going to college. You know what I mean? I'm gone 4 nights a week. What the hell, right? All right, dude. Yeah. Thanks so much for the call. Ralph's got the showbiz be coming up next. In next hour, Joe Lotrulio from Brooklyn 99 will join us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May rather, when they, what am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey. Yeah.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's
this
go
is like
Matt and May from now on.
That was a moment with Bean.
It's
so much more embarrassing when you're doing it in front of a guest, too,
yeah,
right?
The best.
That would hurt. Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Thanks to Anthony Pagan from Anaheim. You just won tickets to go see The Neighborhood. They're playing The Greek in July, and we'll do a grand prize drawing on Monday to send The Neighborhood perhaps to your house for you and 50 friends to play a private concert. Grand prize drawing Monday morning. Your chance to qualify coming up. Details at krock.com. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
Turns out we almost missed out on the greatest Oscar moment in history. Actually, we did miss out on it. We almost saw it. I'm sorry it didn't happen. Jared Leto is saying in a recent interview with Us Weekly magazine that he is seriously considered dressing in drag for the Academy Awards.
Really?
Yes.
Because he played a woman in the movie?
Yeah. Of course, Jared, okay, who won for playing a transgendered woman, Rayon, in Dallas Buyers Club, said he wanted to pay homage to his character and was seriously planning on dressing up as a woman leading right up to the awards.
I'm glad he didn't. I think that would have been a little bit too much. Hey, look at me.
Of course it would have. It would have been awesome. A dude in drag accepting the Academy Award? He'd play that clip forever.
Sure, why not?
In the end, Jared said he opted for his simple white tux because he found out what most women already know. It's a lot of work to get ready as a woman for the Oscars. He said, it's so much work for girls to get ready. I now have more respect for the process. It's a lot what women have to do to themselves.
Yeah.
So he said it's simpler just to brush his hair and slap on a tux.
Yeah, why have to walk around in heels all night?
Oh, it would have been so hot. I mean, it would have been so funny if he had done that. Big Bang Theory star Kaley Cuoco's in the news. You know, she cannot stop raving and ranting about her new husband, tennis professional Ryan Sweeting. She's just, no one's ever been more in love than these two. She's been just tweeting about it and doing interviews about it, and now she has made the ultimate commitment. In between her shoulder blades, she just got a tattoo of her wedding date, 12/31/13, tattooed in Roman numerals on her back. So now,
wow,
it's for real.
All right.
Yeah.
They're together forever.
That is dooming your relationship. I'm sorry.
You can't get a divorce now.
It is all over. What do you do when you're a teen and your mom has a famous sex tape? What's that like?
Teen and your mom.
Yeah.
Separately? They each have their own sex tape. Not together.
Hold on.
Who are we talking about here, Ralph?
Your teen and your mom.
You're a teenager and you know your mother has a sex tape.
Oh, I thought you meant your teen
and your mom both have sex tapes. Talk about the case of Pamela Anderson's sons.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Pam Anderson's sons apparently know all about her famous sex tape, according to
right,
her interview with Elle magazine. I don't know if they've seen it, she says, but they know about it. They know about everything. Wow. Stupid internet, she says. I don't know why everyone is so impressed with it. Yeah, stupid internet. It's the internet's fault.
She did Playboy like 2 or 3 times, right?
Yeah.
She did a nude photo shoot this week, yeah, Lisa.
Oh,
for
okay.
Elle magazine.
Oh.
But it's that sex tape that apparently is the bane of her existence because the kids know all about it, and someday I'm sure they're going to... I don't know. Do you watch
it? No way. Uh-oh, sausage.
Yeah, you don't watch it, right?
No. God, no.
I don't think so. I don't think you ever, ever want to see mom getting drilled.
No, it's... I think it's the stupid internet's
your
fault.
Your friends will make you watch it, though, I bet.
Yeah, I saw your mom last night.
Yes.
And who's more bummed about the disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 than the producers of Deep Water?
Now, what's that one?
A new movie called Deep Water apparently has been put on hold because it's about a flight from Beijing to Sydney that crashes in the Pacific Ocean.
Oh.
And pits a bunch of survivors against giant tiger sharks.
So guess what won't be released?
Yeah, exactly. One of the members of the production company said, out of sensitivity for the Malaysia flight situation, we've decided to put it on hold for now. So maybe we'll see it some other date. But that's got to be hard when you've invested time and money in a project and you realize it's just...
Sure.
You can't possibly put it out with any semblance of good taste.
Look, I know it was real life and it was out of everybody's control, but I still can't but help feel a little let down by the way the whole Malaysia flight story ended. It's just kind of a whimper, wasn't it? I mean, we heard all these crazy stories about hijackings, and CNN was talking about aliens and black holes and all these other things that could have happened to that plane, and now 2 weeks later they go, oh, it crashed.
Were you expecting the alien or black hole resolution, really? Is that what you were betting on?
I'm just saying, for the millions of us around the world that got caught up in the drama and the excitement of what could have happened, what kind of, you know, dastardly plot did this pilot have, or some bold hit, you know, some guy who took control of the plane and landed it in Pakistan, and now everybody's being held in a warehouse. I mean, our imaginations ran wild for a long time, and then for them finally to just say, oh, it crashed.
Serves you right. Serves you right, sucker. That's what I'm saying.
It's a letdown.
It's not a letdown at all. Because anybody with any semblance of a reasonable mind knew that's what happened at get-go. We didn't buy into all the insanity, and we weren't spending every hour looking for news about Malaysia Flight 370.
Look, I know it was always likely that it crashed, but most of us, after it got to be 2 weeks and nothing had been spotted, thought, hey, you know what? Maybe it didn't crash. Maybe it flew low, low, low and landed some, you know, super secret runway and it's a hangar somewhere.
Many of us just let it go after 2 weeks.
Lisa, you're with me on this. You were a little disappointed to find out the ending, right?
Well, I don't think we really know everything. It probably won't, but
Lisa's still holding out hope for the black hole.
Not the black hole, but
I still think it was aliens.
Why were things turned off? And we won't ever know that.
We do have a lot of questions still. It's not that simple. But I just feel like we're seven seasons in and Don't Stop Believing is playing, and all of a sudden it's just Tony at a diner. You know what I mean? It's like, what? No.
Well,
come on. Just saying.
I'm sorry the horrible aviation disaster didn't play out for your entertainment value, Bean. I'm sorry you didn't get the satisfactory ending to the story you would have liked.
Thank you. That's all I was looking for. I appreciate your agreeing with me.
Today's celebrity birthday, singer Aretha Franklin, 72 years old today. Legendary singer-songwriter Elton John is 67. Marcia Cross from Desperate Housewives is 52 years old. Sarah Jessica Parker from Sex and the City is 49. Boy, a lot of chick stuff going on today. Danica Patrick, race car driver, 32. Jenny Slate.
Now, is she Belle or no Belle? I'm wavering here.
Nope. Danica Patrick is hot for a race car driver. That's how I feel, too.
But they've kind of tried to make us think she's hot with all those Super Bowl commercials and stuff. But
that's
she's just
got.
Okay, right?
Yes, she's lovely. Look, she's fine. She's attractive.
Okay.
But it's only because you're comparing her to other race car drivers. If you put her in a room full of Victoria's Secret models, you'd be like, how did she get the job?
Right. Who's the dude bringing the drinks?
That's right. Jenny Slate, 32. Catherine McPhee. Now, there's a bell-worthy young lady. She's 30 years old. Ryan Lewis of Macklemore, and Ryan Lewis is 26. Rapper Big Sean is 26 as well. And Ally McCulka of Ally and AJ is 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Give me the best theme song in TV, would you please, Beer Mug? There it is. That's the music that means you're watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Fox Tuesday nights at 9:30. Tonight, I'm sorry to say, is the season finale of season one. Joe, make more episodes. God damn it. Don't take it away from me now.
I will. We're on it. We're going to be on it in just a few months. We'll be back. We'll be back in the grind of things.
He is the very sexy beast who plays Detective Charles Boyle on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Actor Joe Lotrulio joins us here on the Kennedy.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
You
sexy
must be
beast.
That guy.
Very nice.
Absolutely. That should be your... you can have that when you write your autobiography.
I'll get a t-shirt.
You're a guy who's been in show business. You've been on TV and in movies for like 20 years. But I bet you're also a guy who, because you've done so many different things, that you have no idea when somebody comes up and recognizes you what they're going to know you from, right?
It's true. I get it from all the stuff I've worked on. And it's been really flattering. I mean, from the early stuff with The State, the sketch comedy group, to Superbad, and just all across the board. And most recently, the B99, which is really
nice.
Is that
how you guys refer to it? The B99?
Sometimes.
That's kind of cool. I'm going to start saying that.
Yeah.
You've been in all the stuff we love, though. This is why we've been excited to have you in. Because you mentioned Superbad, obviously, Reno 911, mm-hmm. Role Models, I Love You Man, Party Down. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. I mean, you just have... I mean, I get the sense that there's a lot of you, like, hilarious people who all sit around and just all do each other's shows. That's how you end up on things like, you know, like Drunk History and Robot Chicken and stuff like that.
There's a lot of nepotism in the comedy world. I've just been fortunate enough to work with a lot of amazing, very collaborative people. And, you know, if you're good and you're nice to work with, usually
they'll call you back.
Yeah, they'll call you back. Yeah. They'll give you a ring.
Now, you were telling us right as you sat down, Joe, that we're lucky we're talking to you today and not a week ago. Were you in bad shape 7 days ago?
I was in rough shape. I'm getting married, and I just had gotten back from my bachelor party, which was in Ireland.
What?
Yeah.
That's a long way to go for
a
bachelor party.
It's a long way to go, yes.
Are you Irish?
You didn't want anyone to know what you were doing, did you?
No, we didn't. I am Irish. I'm half Irish. You'd never know it from the Lo Chulio. But yes, I'm half Irish, and that was one of the reasons I went there. And was
so how many people did you convince to go with you for this bachelor party?
We had about 13 people.
Whoa.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and
think about the schedules involved for Joe's friends. How many people had to the hoops you have to jump through to go
honored.
Away?
Yeah, I was honored. It was a great group of guys, and at the top of the list was my dad and my brother. My dad was celebrating his 70th birthday while we were over there. So we had a awesome time. Yeah,
do you have family there still?
No, actually, that's not true. I think I have a distant cousin in Cork. My mom's dad was from Cork.
Okay, but you didn't see them.
Did not see them. They wouldn't have wanted to see me. Well, that's not true. They would have. But
I don't know what goes on in most bachelor parties. It's been a while since I've been invited to one.
Yeah.
But when your dad is there, does that change the entertainment focus of the event?
Not at all. You know, he was concerned about that, actually. He was like, I don't know if I should go. And I'm like, Dad, these are 40-year-old guys. They're going to be doing what they want to do. And we'd love to have you. And they did. And they all came up to him individually saying they were happy he was there. We drank a lot. We listened to a lot of music.
Music?
But that's
Do. Yeah. That's what you do there.
Yeah.
And played golf. I'm not really a golfer, but, you know, I'm in Ireland.
Do you go to St. Andrews?
No, we went to Port Nuinaran Golf Course, which is up near Donegal.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was a great time. But the Brooklyn 99.
Yes.
B99.
B99.
Joe, now that you're a huge star and, as we've already established, a sexy beast with a primetime TV show, is now the time you should be giving up your single life? Now's the time where you should be cashing in and going, ladies, who wants a piece of this?
You know, it's really – I wish I was more rogue and more of a rebel. But, no, I got a great girl. I got a great girl and, you know – it's it took about 10 years, but this was it.
Good for you. Congratulations.
You. Yes.
When Brooklyn Nine-Nine came together, obviously you were excited about the cast. You know, you knew Andy, and when Andre Brower's in it, you go, my God, this is class. And then the hilarious Terry Crews, and I'm sure you knew Chelsea and Melissa and all those people. So you knew you had great DNA going into the thing. Even having said that, are you surprised at how quickly the thing took off, became a big hit, and started winning awards?
It gelled very quickly among the cast. Everyone really, all of us had really been in the industry for a while and knew how hard it is to get a job and then a good job, and everyone wanted to be there, and that kind of made the difference. Mike Shore and Dan Gore were great at kind of just getting the chemistry of all of us together. It really happened quick, and you know the awards were always very nice, very flattered. We were completely stunned. I looked like a guy when it was announced that had just like remembered he left a big bag of money in the taxi. Like I just, or when I'm on stage, I was hyperventilating as if I was the guy that wasn't part of the show and snuck on stage and knew he was going to get tackled any minute now by security. It was really, really nice, and mostly we were excited about, you know, coming back, and we knew that, you know, getting that award was going to help that.
Sure. Now, when your show wins a Golden Globe for Best TV Series, do the major cast members like you, do you get a copy of the Globe that is yours?
We don't. We get we do not. We have a very nice picture of all of us in a great frame on there, which was really, you know, kind of nice to have. Sure. The trophy would have been great, but I'll take the picture. Yeah.
It was amazing, and every once in a while we talk about a show, and The New Girl is another one that we use as an example, that seemed like it gelled out of the gate. It like didn't have to take a half a season to kind of find its legs. And that's very rare these days.
It's hard. You know, you want kind of results really quick in this day of age of television. But luckily, I think we had some really good reviews of the show and a small little cult following that hopefully will grow. But it was really, I think it's a testament to the writers. We have great writers, and they really created some great characters that you want to kind of figure out, you know, what's going to happen with them.
Bad news for Charles Boyle tonight.
Oh,
right.
Chuckle Bunny's got the blues.
Devastating.
That's John Mayer.
Cause when he falls, he falls hard.
He falls hard. he falls hard. Yeah, he commits. He's a guy that wears it on his sleeve. That's why he's kind of endearing. He's having problems with Vivi.
Yeah.
Uh oh.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like to see my boy unhappy. I'll tell you that.
Season finale of B99 happens tonight at 9:30 on Fox. More with our guest Joe Lotrulio when we return. Right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K Rock. Something about the way Lisa says in and out. I don't know. Sexy. Hey, the great Howie Mandel makes his return to the Kevin and Bean Show in the 9 o'clock hour. That's coming up here on K Rock right now. Joe Lotrulio is in studio with us from Brooklyn 99. Season finale is tonight on Fox at 9:30. Do you know Howie, by the way? I assume all you Hollywood types know each other, Joe.
I don't, but...
he's awesome.
He's terrific, and, you know, I am a big fan, but, you know, growing up, you know, watching him do stand-up, I was a fan of Howie's. Yeah.
You did stand-up too, right?
I did not. I did not do stand-up.
Really?
You know, no, I was always very intimidated by it.
You look like the type.
Really? Brutal. I kind of hide behind my characters. I think the really good stand-ups really kind of lay it out in their personal life out there, and which is great. And you know, I just have trouble doing it.
Yeah. But I mean, you kind of started out with the state, right? You and your friends created the state. It seems like
Yes. You'd
have to be a comedian to be able to hang with that.
Well,
group
we were comedians. We were like we loved comedy and movies and Mad Magazine and SNL. But stand-up is a much different animal than sketch, and so we all did a little improv, but really mostly. Sketch comedy. Yeah.
Did I see something on the internet the other day that you are a co-writer of a play that is currently on stage somewhere?
Yes. I believe it's in Atlanta, and I can't remember the theater company, but Michael Showalter and David Wayne, who were two of the members of the group The State, we wrote a play called Sex, a.k.a. Wieners and Boobs, back in the mid-90s. And we had the title before the play because we needed to think of a title to put in the paper because they need the ad, you know, the ad needed to go in there immediately, and we were thinking of a title that would just get people's attention.
People. Yeah.
So that we picked that one and then wrote the play after that.
Why is it playing now in 2014 if you wrote it in the 90s?
Well,
I've heard of taking a long time to bring something to the stage, but come on, Joe.
It's been – well, we're not producing it. This is another theater company that's doing it, and it's been produced by a lot of colleges and local theater companies for the past, you know, 15 years.
Oh, wow.
We're very flattered
really?
By it. Yeah. No, we couldn't believe that this – play went over so well, and it just because of the state and a lot of the stuff that David and Michael Showalter has done and I've done, people just find this play and produce it.
Does it hold up? Are you still proud of it, or do you?
I'm
if
very
you were to
proud
watch
of
their
it.
Production now, would you cringe at some of the?
No,
material?
I would. I'm sure I would love it. It's a very silly play, as the title would suggest, and it's a very absurd play, and it's kind of based loosely on like High Noon. It's a Western type of thing, so it has a very basic structure, and there's a lot of nonsense and improv games in it, and it's really, really stupid.
Did you ever write another one?
No, we did not, but we hope to maybe do something with the play and turn it into something someday.
How about that? It's still kind of cool, though, to think that some, you know, somewhere out
it's
there.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really flattering to have so many people know that work in the state and some of the earlier stuff that I've done. It's really, it really
this
is.
The voice of actor Joe Lotrulio here on the Kevin DeBeat Show from Brooklyn 99. Season finale airs tonight at 9:30 on Fox. So Chuck is in love. Chucky's in love. I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah, there was. I lobbed it over the plate. There you go.
The actress that is playing his intended is whom?
The lovely Mary Lou Henner. She is an absolute dream to work with. And, you know, I was really tickled, truly, by being able to work with her, you know, having been a fan of hers since Taxi and all the other amazing stuff.
It was fun to see her back on TV. Now, she's the woman in real life who has the crazy memory thing, right?
She has, like, hyper graphical memory, and it's really amazing. She's one of only, I think, 33 documented cases, and she's
the one, and we've talked about her on the show before, Lisa, remember, who can go into her closet and go, oh yeah, I bought those shoes on June 13th, 1985, and I wore it with this outfit on April 7th, 1990.
Yeah, I mean, give her a date, and she can tell you where she was and what she ate. It's
the
bizarre.
Reason I bring that up, Joe, is it miserable for her because everybody knows that? I mean, is she constantly being forced into party tricks on a set?
Not
like
at all.
yours?
No, she's very open with it and really kind of enjoys, you know, explaining. She's written a couple books about it. And she's really open with it and patient with it. You know, everyone makes those jokes. Oh, so it must be easier for you to remember lines. She's like, it's a much different type of memory thing. Yeah, although I can remember lines easily.
Had she met you before?
No, she had not. And, you know, she's a terrific actress to work with. She always has ideas that she's bringing into the scene. And, you know, our producers and directors are always very collaborative and open to hearing all of it. And so she really comes prepared. And as we all do, she's just terrific to work with.
Do you know they're probably still just writing season two, so you don't have any idea where the gang's going?
I have no idea. Okay. Yeah, I have no idea. I, you know, I hope that Charles finds someone.
anyone?
Well, look, personally, I have no idea. You know, Rosa is such a weirdo and Charles is such a weirdo. I think they're meant for each other, but it's really, it's anyone's guess at this point, for sure.
I think Rosa's starting to be worn down a little bit. I think now that Boyle is looking elsewhere, I think she's starting to think of him as maybe the one that got away a little bit.
It could be. Although I'm glad that they're not making Rosa very jealous, and that, like, for other reasons that Charles is having problems with Vivian and not because of Rosa's sabotage.
Exactly. I want to play a clip from the show. Honestly, we've been talking about Brooklyn Nine-Nine since it debuted. We couldn't be bigger fans of it.
It really is one of
the very best shows on TV, and you'll get an idea of how awesome Joe's character is. This is a clip, I think, from last week. Joe's character, Charles, is having a little bit of trouble finding a private time to speak with his girlfriend on the phone, and he's discussing that with the gang at the station.
How do you hurt your arm smiling?
Could be a sports injury. I sprained my wrist in college playing field hockey.
Men's field hockey?
Yeah. It's much more violent than the women's game. We're not allowed to wear anything that protects our breasts.
That is in no way the clip I asked for, but thank you very much for a completely different one.
That's all right.
Also very funny, though. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, season one finale airs tonight at 9:30 on Fox. Joe, good luck to you on your upcoming nuptials, my friend.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Thanks for watching the show.
The success in the world and many more Golden Globes for you and the cast. We love you guys over there on Fox. Thanks for coming by.
Very kind. Thanks for having me.
Lisa, I don't have the Asperger's, although frequently you guys accuse me of having the Asperger's.
Well, we know you do, but go ahead.
But there are some people who have the Asperger's who become fixated on some things. And one of the most common things is maps. Mm-hmm. And I confess, I go to a few map stores. I own a lot of maps. It doesn't mean I have Asperger's. I just happen to like maps.
Nobody knows, but people with Asperger's go to map stores.
And I especially like maps on the Weather Channel. And I know that this has come up from time to time on our show before because I love the Weather Channel. There is not a single day that goes by. And it has nothing to do with there being storms where I live or there being imminent danger or tornadoes or floods. I just love the Weather Channel. I just want to see what's going on the Weather Channel. I love seeing the high pressure systems forming and where they're all going to go and who's going to get which weather and watch the seasons change. I mean, it's been a daily part of my life for years is the Weather Channel.
Wow.
Now, it doesn't hurt that the Weather Channel has lots of hotties on it, by the way.
Yeah, they do right.
Well, you can imagine the problem that I'm in right now because DirecTV is feuding with the Weather Channel and they have dropped them. And they've replaced the Weather Channel with something called Weather Nation, which is BS.
Why? What's wrong with Weather Nation?
Because it's a pale imitation of the Weather Channel. Because the Weather Channel is professional meteorologists that I know, that I like, that I trust. I see and know and like and trust their graphics and their maps and their system and the times that they do things. And then all of a sudden, everything's just been thrown up in the air like it doesn't matter. And now all of a sudden, I have all these bogus people I've never heard of before telling me about weather on the Weather Nation channel.
Well, aren't they meteorologists too? They pretty much all do the same thing.
They might be meteorologists, but I don't know them. I don't know. I don't want to let them into my homes. You see how upset people get whenever Facebook makes a change and all of a sudden you log onto your computer and your page looks different? It's just upsetting when everything gets all changed all willy-nilly. So I don't know what's going to happen with the Weather Channel, but DirecTV has taken a stand. So they have put something called the Weather Nation on and they have booted the Weather Channel. So it is no longer on my TV. So I spend a lot of time on the website, but it's not the same as watching it on the TV.
Of course, Bean. We understand.
By the way, this blackout is the first for the Weather Channel in 32 years. It's the first time it's ever been in a dispute with any kind of a provider and ever been bumped. So I don't know if it's coming back or not, but I did just uncover a phone number where you can call DirecTV and you can register your complaints. If you are dissatisfied with the choices they're making with channels, you can call. And Beer Mug, I would like you to dial that for me right now because I will not stand
for No Weather Channel. No Weather Channel, no peace.
This is your strongly worded call.
Yes, it is. It's a matter of, and I'm also writing a letter, by the way, but I'm going to start with a phone call.
All right.
Because I'm outraged. A huge fan, and they should listen to me.
Hello, and thank you for calling the DirecTV Automated Hotline. If you'd like to pay your bill, press 1 now.
Nope.
If you'd like to add channels or services to your DirecTV service, press 2 now.
Mm.
If you have a complaint or comment about DirecTV's online services, press 3 now.
What is that? Is someone at the doorbell?
Jumping the gun a little there.
What's
Mike?
Happening here?
Let's press 3. Whatever you want, Beer Mug, whenever you want it.
All right, 3 it is. Complete.
You press 3. You have a comment or complaint about some DirecTV service.
Yes, I do.
If you'd like to talk about DirecTV's Genie service, press 1 now.
No.
If you'd like to talk about DirecTV's sports package options, press 2 now.
Nope.
If you'd like to talk about DirecTV's lack of the Weather Channel, press 3 now.
There it is. Press 3, please.
Okay.
All right. Getting close.
If you're happy about DirecTV canceling the Weather Channel, press 1 now. If you're unhappy about DirecTV canceling the Weather Channel, press 2 now.
I'm furious. Press 2 with extreme prejudice, Muggs. Told them.
All right. You said you're unhappy about DirecTV dropping the Weather Channel. If you have, 1, access to a smartphone, press 1 now. If you have access to a radio, press 2 now. If you have a local TV channel that gives you the local weather, press 3 now. If you have a computer of some sort, press 4 now. If you have access to a newspaper, press 5 now. If you have access to all these, press 6 now.
You have all those, don't you?
Yeah, I got all those, okay. Sure. It's not the same. It's not the Weather Channel.
Oh, how about that? If only there was some way you could find out about the weather through any of these goddamn other ways. If you could check your smartphone or radio or a newspaper or turn on your local TV and see what the weather's going to be. Maybe then you could find out about the weather. Maybe you wouldn't miss the Weather Channel so much then. Here's an idea. Stick your head out the window. See what the weather's like. Probably you stick your head up your ass. God damn it! I don't feel like you're taking this complaint seriously.
I hate you so
much.
Hey, why is it you yelling at me?
Needing a Weather Channel like some giant douchebag.
Oh, man,
I'm a customer.
You.
This is inappropriate.
But thank you for choosing DirecTV. Don't just watch TV. DirecTV. Except for you, Asperger's douchebag.
All right, done and done.
When Howie Mandel gets your mugs, you should go in there and lick his whole face. He loves that.
Oh,
he's going to pretend that he doesn't, but he would really enjoy it. That's my advice to you.
Very touchy-feely guy. He wants
he is.
Yeah.
Always wants to be as close to the people as possible. Mm-hmm. Howie joins us up next. And don't forget Coachella tickets every morning at 9 o'clock here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You still got those to win as well. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Yeah, we kid Howie, of course, because of his... What would you say? You wouldn't say
his
fear.
His extreme germophobia?
You wouldn't say fear. Would you say phobia?
He's
not comfortable around germs.
Right.
He'll be the first to tell you that he's doing it right. The rest of us are doing it wrong. We should be more like him, Howie says. And right. It could be something to it. You never hear about Howie Mandel getting sick.
But what does a guy like him do when he comes to a radio station like K-Rock?
Right.
Which is just a cesspool.
Beer
Mug's feces has just been flung around and it's
trapped
in the
carpet. What about what Jed did to this place?
Jed Fish used to do here. And then you've got these microphones that everybody uses and the headphones that everybody uses. What's he going to do? Come in a hazmat suit?
You're going to make him turn around and go.
I'm just saying.
You're going to cancel our guest here, Ralph.
I'll be interested to see how he navigates through this.
Howie, we sprayed down the studio with antiseptic. Don't worry. Right before you got here, everything is as clean as it's ever been.
Just a sea of microbes that he's going to have to be wading through in order just to do an interview. I don't like it. Oh, this is... How about a little more volume on the cameras? Can we do that, Brian? There we go.
Muggs is playing whatever the hell he wants today.
You're a joy. You're a joy to be around today, Beer Mug. It is Tuesday. That means new release day.
Ooh, tell me.
If you want to spend some money on your entertainment needs, here's what's available. New CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD. Out Among the Stars by Johnny Cash. Yes, the long-awaited Johnny Cash album is finally now in stores. Because Johnny's been dead for a decade. So now you got that. Shakira.
Sounded better than ever.
Shakira by Shakira. I heard if you buy it at Target, you get 3 more tracks.
Really?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Bonus. You get bonus Shakira if you go to get it at Target. Night Songs by Barry Manilow. Kiss Me Once by Kylie Minogue. Gravitas by Asia. Glee, the music, celebrating 100 episodes by the Glee cast. Only Day the King of Mexico will be buying that today. On DVD, The Wolf of Wall Street. If you missed that in theaters, Leonardo DiCaprio's Oscar-nominated turn, along with Jonah Hill. Available on DVD and Blu-ray. Delivery Man, Vince Vaughn and Kobe Smulders. Welcome to the Jungle. Adam Brody and Rob Hubel, along with Jean-Claude Van Damme. And Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery, the new animated Scooby-Doo movies available. TV shows on DVD, Californication, Season 6, as we enter into the final season of Californication. Continuum, Season 2. Is that even ringing a bell for anyone? Continuum?
No.
Yeah, that's the Rachel Nichols show that's done up in Canada. Sci-fi show. It's real good.
It's a video game or it's a fantasy game. You play along as you watch it or something.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Oh, okay. Veep, Season 2. And Key and Peele, Seasons 1 and 2 together. You can check out those funny, funny men. Come on now, it's a song that we're singing. Come on, get sober. David Cassidy of the Partridge Family faced the court yesterday in Los Angeles dealing with his drunk driving charge, and he was ordered to enter alcohol rehab for 3 months. He also will serve 5 years probation, pay some fines, and take part in a 9-month alcohol education program.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
No, he does not have a wooden hand at all. He will not be doing any jail time, so that's good news for Reuben Kincaid and Tracy and the rest of the Partridges.
I don't think the band's still together, Ralph. I think he's on his own now.
I just saw the bus on television the other day. They were driving to a gig.
Okay.
Speaking of TV news, Paul Guilfoyle, who played Captain Jim Brass on CSI ever since the very beginning of that show, he is leaving the show. Hollywood Reporter says he'll be written out of the series in the May 7th season finale of CSI. That means just one original cast member is left. George Eads, who plays Nick Stokes on that show, will still be around. And Disney has announced they're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of It's a Small World, the ride at Disneyland, by sponsoring a worldwide sing-along on April the 10th. Everybody's going to get together and sing It's a Small World together.
That's not a song you need to hear much of,
no,
right?
No, not.
You surely pretty much hit your fill by now, I think.
It has caused more world strife and war than any other song. Because people hear that and say, I want to kill other people in other countries. I can't take that ride for one more moment.
Yeah, that ride does seem like it's 45 minutes long. Sure. You go through it, Disney, as delightful as it is, because everything Disney does is great.
That's true.
You still have had your fill of that song by the time you're through.
Will you join in singing on April the 10th?
I will not.
All right. And Alicia Keys' husband, Swiss Beatz, seems to have called off the public war that was going on between Alicia and his ex-wife, Mashonda. I don't know if you remember this or not, but nearly 5 years ago, Mashonda wrote a very nasty open letter to Alicia Keys, blaming the singer for the affair that destroyed her marriage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Alicia and Swiss Beatz have been married since 2010. Now, he has kids with both women, so I guess he's trying to get them to get along, and it looks like they are. They were spotted hanging out on the beach in St. Bart's all together, both moms and all the kids and Swiss Beatz, and everybody's just having a grand old time. So apparently they've patched up their differences and all is well.
That has got to take some real diplomacy to be able to get your baby mamas to get back, you know, to get together and hang out.
Yeah, vacation together with the kids.
Right.
Yeah. You have to watch where you're drinking, I think. You don't let one of the women go to the bar and get your drink for you, because when you come back, next thing you know, you got the runs or something. It's bad. What's going on? Celebrity birthdays: Aretha Franklin, 72 years old. Elton John is 67. Marsha Cross turns 52. Sarah Jessica Parker is 49 years old today. Jenny Slate turns 32. Catherine McPhee is 30 years old. Ryan Lewis of Macklemore and Ryan Lewis is 26, as is rapper Big Sean. And Ally McCulka of Ally and AJ fame celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
You got to be one of the top 100 most famous Canadians of all time, wouldn't you think?
Oh, at least top 1,000.
You don't think top 100?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't
feel
know
like
what
you
the
have to be in that
conversation.
I mean, you're not Bryan Adams or anything, but
no,
I mean, you're up there. You got to be up there.
Yes, I would imagine I'm one of the top 100 Canadians, famous Canadians.
See,
right.
We already
I'm on the Canadian Walk of Fame. I am.
There is reals. You really are?
Where is
for
it?
Reals. It's in Toronto.
Is it in Toronto?
No, it's in Toronto. It's not like the one we have here in Hollywood. It's just you just take a Sharpie and you write your name on the sidewalk. Toronto
it is your hometown. So
it is my hometown.
Is that a source of pride being on the Canadian Walk of Fame there?
No, I mean, it was huge. It was huge because, as you know, the reason you talk about all these famous Canadians is because in order to garner our fame, we must come south.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we're very rarely respected in our hometown, unlike in America, where you can play, you know, the stadium in your hometown forever, and then America finds you. In Canada, it's not the same thing. Until America loves you, Canada doesn't really love you, but they've learned
to
accept me.
Isn't that interesting? Now, there must be some people, and this was in no way what I was expecting to talk to you about, Howie, but while we're on the topic, there must be some people who become famous in Canada and just stay famous in Canada and never venture out of the borders, right?
There are, you know.
Canadian-only celebrities.
Yes. We have this thing called, for years, it was the Tommy Hunter Show. And I don't even know who Tommy Hunter is, but
you've been in America too long to even know who he is.
But
back
he
home,
had
right?
a show, and there's all these big Canadian shows that you'll never see the light of the world, but they're huge in Canada.
Who's the guy? And they've just recently started playing the last year or so, started putting him on CNN or one of the cable channels. What's his name?
Justin Bieber.
Nope. Strombolopoulos.
Who's great.
He's phenomenal.
He is great. He should be on TV here. He's had a few shots on ABC. He did that show called The One, which didn't really work out. And then he was on CNN. And he's a really good friend of mine. Probably one of the best television interviews I've ever done
was on
his show. He's just really smart. And I think you'll be hearing a lot of him. It's amazing that you know of him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I saw him when he's on. That was when I got introduced to him. When they tried a talk show on CNN, and I was just super impressed. I mean, because I talk to people for a living as well, I'm always curious to see how others do it. And he just—I mean, it was humbling to watch him because he was so good.
He's
really great.
He does his homework. He's really great, and he's like. Do you remember when Bob Costas had the show after Tom Snyder, and he did an hour in depth? I mean, I thought he was really good too, because he does his homework when it's not just about sports.
It does. It seems like, except for like Charlie Rose on PBS, it doesn't seem like America has much of an appetite for just conversation on TV anymore. Everything has to be bells and whistles and bands and skits and YouTube and everything else. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
Craig Ferguson does a little bit of that, but you know, a little bit of that. But even he has an audience. It's
but you're doing it. You know, I think that the problem is, and the programmers are afraid to do long form, and I don't think you could talk to somebody and be interesting in 5 or 6 minutes. I think you really got to dig and peel back the onion skin and kind of get to know somebody, and there isn't really a place to do that.
Unless you
feel in the last 45 seconds you've really got to know me like nobody else has. You have found things about, I don't think anybody knew that I was one of the top 100 most famous Canadians.
I think you need to put that on your IMDb page. I think you need to start saying that. You need to start advertising.
You know, this morning I did a radio interview. I did a radio media tour. And for those that don't know, you know, I was sitting in the comfort of my own home and doing, you know, you call radio station after radio station after radio station. I've been all over the nation promoting Deal With It, which is on tomorrow night on TBS.
And we're going to talk about that.
We'll talk about that. But then they said, you know, if you want to do K-Rock, and I'm a huge fan of yours, you got to come in and do this one in person. So this one, I got in the car and I came. I got to tell you, I live far from here. I live out in the West Valley. This is in the city. It's rush hour. And
it's
my way. And this one, it was important for you to talk to me because I had to be in person. Though you're not here and Kevin is not here. So I had to drive in to be here.
That's right.
To not see you. Why could I have not? Why is this better than being on the phone when you're not here?
And I think I think you have a legitimate complaint.
It's better for you.
It sounds better. Sound better, though.
Oh, it's the sound.
It does.
How do you know I don't have one of these in my house?
It's just it's an easier conversation because being as a camera, He can see you.
Okay.
So it's not that different.
And I have a computer.
From being in person.
I can.
Well, that's true.
We could have.
I don't know. Phone interviews just never feel the same.
They don't feel the same.
I feel like we've wasted a lot of your time today, Howie.
No, you've wasted no time. And to be honest with you, the more people I talk to that aren't there, the more comfortable I am.
Well, that's good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Howie, yes. We are going to talk about to Deal With It, which airs tomorrow night at 10:30
right.
on TBS. We are going to talk about that. But
okay.
I'm just curious because I feel like you are at the top of your game and fame. I didn't know which word I was going for. I feel like your career is in the best place it's ever been right now, which
so
is
it's
curious.
Only downhill this, from here.
No. What I'm saying is you were huge for a while.
Right.
Then you kind of receded, always still working, always still had fans, always still had an audience, not so much visible on the TV. And then in recent years, you've come back, you've gotten bigger and bigger. And now I feel like you're kind of at the peak of your whole career. And I bet this isn't what you expected you would be doing at this point in your career. You've kind of carved out new avenues to travel down that I don't think you foresaw back in the early days.
Well, I didn't. I never foresaw being in this business. This is 180 degrees from where I believed I would be. I didn't think
really?
I would be in show business. Absolutely. What, you think I'd lie right off the bat?
No.
But it's good.
It's surprising.
No, yeah. I was never in a school play. This is something I did on a dare on an amateur night in the 70s because I didn't like disco and I went to a comedy club and somebody said, I dare you to get up and do something.
Yeah.
And I did, and one thing led to another. And now here I am at K-Rock.
Amazing.
At the pinnacle of my career.
Here,
but the thing is, you're absolutely right. In fact, in 2005, I was about to throw it in, just toss it in. I didn't want to do this anymore.
No.
Because
even after all the TV shows and all the success on the road and everything, you were literally going to get out of show business?
I was tired and I had done a couple of I'm never tired of doing stand-up and I would always show up at clubs and do stand-up. But I was tired of the whole television thing. I had done a couple of pilots in 2005 that didn't work out well. And it's, creativity by committee is really hard. People giving me notes and they were my ideas. And I said, that's it. And then I got the call from Deal or No Deal to say, we have a game show we want you to host. I went, No. And I wanted to hung up before the guy even finished because I thought that at that time, you have to put it in perspective. I don't think any comedian had really, since Groucho Marx, had done a game show. And I thought that's the kind of people as a comedian we would make fun of. That would put the nail in the coffin of my career. I did not want to be a game show host.
Yeah.
And then they'd be Louis Anderson on Family Feud and it would be like, oh, he's just doing it for the money.
Yeah, I'm not. I wasn't even thinking of anybody, just myself. These are the people that I would make fun of. And the thing is that I. And then they called me back. They were very persistent. And they said, let us explain the game to you. And I said, okay, go ahead, explain the game. And they go, they explain the game, and you know the game. There is no game. There was 26 models holding cases, and you had to find the $1 million, which made it sound even worse and tackier and crazier. I said, how do you hold up an hour of television of people just, there's no strategy. There's no game. There's not. And then finally, the guy came out to Jerry's Delicatessen in the Valley. He said, and he played it with me at a table. And I said, this is kind of intriguing. But I don't think I want to do it. I went home and my wife said, why are you saying no? And I said, because it's going to, just hurt my career. And she said, what career? You're at home. Go to work.
And she
sent me out to do it. And it was the best decision. And it kind of catapulted me. And then what happened is with the success of that show, I negotiated a contract to have a production company. And since that time, I've been producing my own shows I'm in, shows I don't, Deal With It is one of my productions. And I've done a bunch of shows, and I have a lot of shows that I'm not hosting and I'm not part of. And
nice.
It's really,
you're sea-cresting it now.
I am. Yes.
That could be we could use that as a verb now, right?
Yes, I am. And, I'm able to employ not only myself but other people and employ ideas. In fact, I employed – and this is crazy. I know your producer here is going to kill me for this. But my son-in-law does the music for all my shows.
Uh-huh.
But he's also – he's got this – he's Doc Hollywood who's – he had a hit called We Run L.A., he does, and he does music, and he's got his new song out, and they're playing it on other radio stations, and I brought it in today. I said, can you play my son-in-law's song? And he looked at me like, I don't know, the program director. And I go, but I showed up in person, nobody else is here, you gotta, at least when I leave, play it once. I'm telling you, your listeners will love it. It's his new, it's gonna be a new hit, and it's called Palm Springs Beach House.
whatever it's called. How he couldn't lie about his own son's music. Of course,
Howie
it's
doesn't
great.
Lie. I've learned.
Are
that.
They? Are we going to get?
Howie doesn't
on this
lie.
Station?
We've heard that. Hey, Howie.
That's a no.
Deal or No Deal was
he's ignoring me
beyond.
I
a
showed
sensation,
up in
though,
person.
Was beyond a sensation though. I mean, even you had to. Even though you liked it at the deli, you had to be amazed at how big that show got.
I had absolutely no idea that it would. In fact, so much so that when I taped it, we taped it. And I knew it was going to air. I left the country. I was so embarrassed. I said, there's no game. Who's going to be interested in this? And I left. I was in South America. When I landed back in Florida, the first person that came up to me in the airport went, Deal or No Deal? And I go, hi, you saw it.
Wow.
And then the second person, every 30 seconds, that's what somebody was saying to me. And I went, oh, my gosh, this is something.
This is working.
Wow.
And I had no idea that it would be something. And then 4 years, 500 episodes. You know, slot machines, and you know, one thing leads to another, and then we have Deal with it.
And America's Got Talent too, by the way, which is another thing that is just you couldn't have imagined what a smash hit that thing would be.
Not only that, I couldn't imagine that would be a show. You know, when I've been doing this business, as I said, from the late to mid to late 70s, I'm and you
19
know,
or 18,
what
70s.
The 19.
Okay, I just double check it.
I'm very old. I am old.
But you've aged so well, I just wasn't sure. Okay, so you've been in the business
well?
A long time.
He said from yes, 400 miles from here.
No, you look fantastic, Howie.
Thank you.
You do. I think the haircut works in your favor as you age. If
this
you
is
have
a haircut?
No, yes, if you have no hair, you
right.
look better the older you get.
Well, you know, if I grow it in, it's white. So, yes, I look. This
exactly.
makes me look younger.
What I'm trying to say, the
what are you
the wrap
to say?
Up here, the wrap
we're,
up here for this segment is I'm
we're
congratulating
wrapping the segment.
Just the segment.
Just the segment.
We'll be back.
Then we're coming back and we're talking some more about Deal with It.
You need a break. You're tired.
We have to stop. You know what
okay.
it's like.
10:30.
Just like on your
I know.
Show.
I know.
We got to play commercials.
I'm learning
but,
this thing.
But what I'm saying, Howie,
any
is
any chance you play my son-in-law's song?
None. You didn't. Nobody planned it, but you ended up carving out a great and successful career for yourself, and you are to be
I want
applauded.
To be a record promoter.
And your wife is really to be applauded for making
she
you
is.
Do that Deal or No Deal,
I
because
do.
Here
I
you are today.
Her. All right. Let's take all a right. break. Let's take a break.
Howie Mandel is here. Deal with It is the show. Wednesday nights at 10:30 on TBS. We'll talk all about it when we return right after this on K-Rock. The great Howie Mandel in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. You can follow him on Twitter at Howie Mandel and his new show at Deal With It TBS. Hey, before we talk all about that, Howie, you still right. do the stand-up. You still have a lot of friends in the stand-up.
Yes, I do.
What about Kevin Bean's April Foolishness 2014? Are you hip to the lineup? You hip to what we got going on this year?
I don't know what the lineup is. Tell me what the lineup is.
We do a charity show every year. Proceeds benefit the Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU. Tickets are on sale now. Here's what we got. We got you Jim Jeffries, Patton Oswalt, Tim Minchin, right. Mark Maron,
wow.
Adam Carolla,
wow.
Doug Benson,
wow.
Eddie Ift, and I'm happy to say, and this is why I bring it up with you in the room, your friend Taylor Williamson.
Yay!
Oh, he's hysterical.
We love him. He's been in a couple of times now. And
isn't
he's
great?
Just the cutest. Yeah,
isn't
he's
he
really
great?
Funny.
He's really funny.
And that, when from America's Got Talent, that must make you feel so good that you were a part of literally changing a kid's life and helping him have a career, because he is great and he's such a success.
He really is. And you watch somebody's life change, you know, but being plucked from basic obscurity.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
To he's making a living doing what he dreamed to do. And the fact that it's stand-up comedy, you know, stand-up comedy before Tom Cotter kind of had a great year the prior year. And I think that inspired more comics to come forward. And this year, I'm in the midst of AGT, even more comics have come forward. There's actually a 12-year-old filthy comic who's going to tell adult humor. It's really funny. Wait till you see that.
I want, eventually, one day, I want Taylor and Heidi Klum to actually get married. I think that would be the greatest fairy tale romance of all time if those two got together. Don't you?
I think he would love that more than you.
America's Got Talent returns for season 9 on Tuesday night, May 27th at 8 on NBC. Let's talk about your new show. It is called Deal With It. This is one that you are behind the scenes for the whole series, but the episode that's going to air tomorrow night, is that the one that you're actually on, or was that last week?
I was on last week. You see
on
me in
show.
And out of them, you know, because I'm the producer and I'm there, and you can hear me talking. Tomorrow night, it's Heidi Klum is there.
Oh, okay.
Actually, and she gets a and there's full nudity, frontal nudity tomorrow night. So that's do not
Howie
miss.
Howie knows how to sell a show. Now, explain the premise for folks who have not seen Deal With It.
Okay, so I love Hidden Camera. I've always done Hidden Camera and Hidden Agenda. This takes it to a new level. So imagine, if you will, it's a Hidden Camera game show.
Okay.
And we are like the NSA. We'll take hidden cameras and microphones and put them in public places like a restaurant or a bar. And then we, the celebrity guest, Heidi, Theo Von, who's the host, could sit backstage and listen to the conversations at the table and glean who they are. You go, this is a mother and a daughter. These are coworkers. And then we say, you know what? Bring the mother back. And we'll send over a waitress who will say your car's parked wrong, or do you want to fill out a form to get a free lunch? All you have to do is we're going to do a survey on our new menu. If she comes back, she comes back, and we kind of ambush her. We go, you know what? It's not really a free lunch. It's a game show. Do you want to be on? You can win $5,000 right now. If she says yes, and they usually do, we put an earpiece in their ear. We put a microphone. We send them back out to the table. They cannot let the person they're with know they're on a television show or anybody in the restaurant, and they have to do what the celebrity tells them to do for the money. So the celebrity may say, for $1,000 now, that's your daughter. Tell your daughter that you're leaving her father for another man.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And you
got to play it totally straight and not
you gotta
give the
sell
game.
It. You know, so yeah. Now you see, you go, oh, my God, is she going to do it? Is she going to, if she doesn't, how's this girl going to react? Or, you know, I see a table two away with a couple eating a big slice of chocolate cake. When I say go, for $500, stand up, walk over to that table, and plant your face in their cake. They're not part of a TV show, and don't lift it out until I say so. So it's just fun, and I tweet live. Heidi tweets live. Theo, everybody who's on it tweets live. It's really funny. We have Bob Saget, Kevin Nealon, the Jenner girls are coming. You know, the Jenner girls were on, and not that I'm giving anything away, but, you know, people, when you start saying these things,
right,
the first reaction to the people you're sitting with are you crazy? So this girl saying, all these things you're doing, you're making me feel crazy like a Kardashian, and they're sitting there. Well, they go, oh, wait, and I thought that was kind of cool for TV. I said, ask her again what'd she say? You feel crazy like what? She says, I said, I feel crazy like a Kardashian, not slutty like one. And the girls are sitting there. The girls went crazy, and they got up and went out into the restaurant and ended up confronting.
Oh,
the
my God.
I mean, that's part
really?
Of the TV. You never know
that's
what's going to happen.
You expected.
No, but nothing that is on this show is anything that we expect. It's Don't Miss TV. Tell your listeners to put it on Facebook and tweet about it. Get everybody to watch it. This is our second season. It's doing great. It blew up last season, and it's just getting bigger and better. TBS.
Are you surprised at what people will do for $250, the embarrassment they'll put themselves through in front of their friends and family?
You know, it's funny. Every show I do surprises me. It's like a great study in humanity. You know, from Deal or No Deal, from telling somebody who tells me they've never owned a home, they don't have insurance, they have three kids, and I say the banker's going to give you $250,000. Deal or no deal, and they doubt that. No deal. I just want to throttle them. I don't understand. Two, telling somebody, you know, it's a game for $2,000, do something incredibly awkward and embarrassing. It's always amazing what people will do or where they will draw the line or won't draw the line. The beauty is, at the end of the game, no matter how crazy it gets and outrageous it is, they're always happy to find out it's a game and relieved and that they won money.
Of course, yeah. I actually have a clip from your appearance on the show last week. This is you and the host of the show, Theo, and you are, you know, basically you're trying to talk this girl into being a germaphobe. I mean, you're trying to get her to pretend. She's wiping down all
the... We're going to show a clip on the radio?
We're going to show a clip, yeah.
Wow, I wonder how this translates to radio.
Look right into your radio. Here's right. Howie, the host
of the
show.
Not if you're driving. Not if you're driving.
And remember, they're talking to this person who's in on the game. Her fiancé that she's having lunch with is not in on it, has no idea why she's acting so crazy.
Congrats, that's level 2 completed. You've now earned $750. Way to deal with it. Okay, we're starting level 3. This is for an additional $750. Good luck.
So the guy behind you is going to start coughing.
When you hear him coughing, I need you to be really upset by it and tell him to stop coughing.
Did I tell you what Sally told us on Wednesday?
So she turns around. She talks to him.
Excuse me.
Oh, hey.
You're spreading germs.
Jesus. People cough.
That's her fiancé.
So sorry. That was embarrassing.
Get over it.
Oh, wow.
So she just says, get over it, man. She can't.
She can't break that this is why she's doing it.
And that's her fiance sitting there who just came for a nice lunch, and he's going, oh, my God.
What is happening to you?
Yes. Why are you doing this? And eventually we filled up this thing. It looked like hand sanitizer. We filled it up with some other liquid, but it was just on the corner. When he keeps coughing, I sent her over to get the bottle of hand sanitizer. She opens it up and drinks it. And the guy goes, what are you doing? She goes, I want to be healthy. But it's just fun to watch. It's more fun than watching the people do what we tell them to do, is watching how the people they're with react to that. And that's really what the show's about. And what's fun about it is when you're sitting and watching it, you're yelling at the TV. You're going, I wouldn't believe that, or I wouldn't. But you will.
You're playing God, basically. You're making people do things just for the love of money.
Well, when you're in television and radio, isn't that what we're all playing?
That's what we're all playing. That's absolutely right. Yes. That's right. The show is called Deal With It. It airs Wednesday nights at 10:30 on TBS. America's Got Talent returns on May 27th. By the way, right before you go here, Howie, and I know we're out of time, and you have a very long drive. You'll get home at like 2 o'clock this afternoon by the time you finally get.
Well, they just gave me a ride here, but they didn't give me a ride home. I'm walking home. Okay. Yeah.
Lisa made mention to something right as you sat down that I had forgotten about. Lisa, were you referring to, did we hear a story recently that Howie Mandel never lies?
No, it wasn't his story. He said it to me when I was suggesting that his story that he never meant to get into show business was crazy.
Right,
and then he said, I don't lie.
I don't lie.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
why would I lie?
Because remember, Ralph did a story last week that we were all talking about some celebrity. I couldn't remember who it was. Is that who it was?
Oh,
who said he never, ever lies. He says that's the way he goes. He doesn't even tell little white lies to people.
No, I've lied.
We've all lied.
I lied.
I mean, even
I would hope
to be
so.
Nice.
I just lied a moment ago when saying I didn't lie.
And I lied when I said you didn't lie.
All right. I'm glad we were able to clear that up. Howie, was it worth your time to drive down here to spend this time with us here today?
It really was. My son-in-law is disappointed. Palm Springs Beach House.
If you can't say it,
Palm Beach. Phone and request it. Maybe they'll do it.
You've got to learn the name of that damn song, Howie. That's all there is to
it. It's brand new. Palm Beach Beach House. Doc Hollywood. Go to Doc Hollywood.
And
He did We Run LA. He's a big thing.
We love you, Howie. Good luck with the show. Thanks so much for coming in, man.
Okay.
Let's do it again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's not what you want.
That's for damn sure. Hey, Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Sneak up on me like that.
How's it going, Ralph?
I was trained to kill with these hands. I can
numb. You don't want to startle. Don't want to startle Garmin.
I don't. You startle a ninja. Do we have Kevin's massive F up?
Yes!
Let's get to this freaking thing, shall we?
Tell me about it.
You were gone. You were on vacation. And Kevin was left here.
Alone. Don't do that with the children.
What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Oh, I'm just going to go off to St. Bart's with my supermodel girlfriend, said Bean. I'm just going to take off and leave Kevin behind to fend for himself. You don't leave the special needs kid by himself.
But at what age are you allowed to leave your kid at home alone without a babysitter?
I
thought Kevin was at that point. So he's trying to run things.
Yeah, he's trying to do a bit where I had pre-recorded a call from the Pope, and he was supposed to set up the bit and then go to it, and then there was supposed to be a phone ringing, and the Pope was supposed to start talking. And
well, that's a lot of moving parts for the monkey.
But then he added something. He's like, oh, I'm going to play another bit, an audio drop in front of that, and that's going to really add to the flavor of the whole concept. And he had all these grand plans, had these grand dreams for how the segment was going to go. And instead, it just became a giant flaming car crash. So here's the beginning of the segment. Keep in mind, the phone's supposed to ring. The Pope's supposed to answer. Kevin goes into the pre-recorded segment. We have nothing but autopilot from that point on. Here's what happened.
Good morning. How are you?
That might be the best thing that's ever happened. Sorry. Sorry.
All right.
Let's try that again.
Yeah, that's how it started.
That kind of breaks down the fourth wall, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit.
That's funny.
Yeah. He just started pushing buttons,
he
basically.
Just, everything was
he panicked and started pushing buttons.
And then he just started laughing and couldn't pull his S together long enough to get back on track with the show. And it was just, I feel sorry.
Well, we're giving him some competition today, though, with Lisa just reading whatever the hell she wants.
She's doing traffic and whenever she wants to. And it's just madness. Just madness. All right, let me make it up to you for this horrible show by giving you some free stuff. This is very cool. Offspring fans, this is for you. A pair of pit tickets.
What?
To see The Offspring, July the 11th at the Pacific Amphitheater. Plus, a meet and greet with the band.
Wow. Yay!
If you are an Offspring fan, it doesn't get much better than this. Pit tickets, meet and greet with the band. It all happens July the 11th at the Pacific Amphitheater. Tickets are on sale right now, by the way, if you want to check out The Offspring at a very cool event. Go to the place where you buy tickets.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Well, I'm going to give away a pair right now.
But where can I get them?
Well,
I mean, they're like,
you can call.
Where
right now.
Is there?
You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
Dave, call the number, and caller number 11. Caller number 11 will win a pair of pit tickets to see The Offspring, plus a meet and greet with the band at the Pacific Amphitheater. Call right now.
And where do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available?
Yes,
do you know?
There are plenty of rooms left at the Marriott. Make sure you book early. Though, however, it doesn't tell me where to send people for these tickets. It doesn't say a goddamn thing about that. Tickets are on sale now, but where to go to get them? Nope. I got nothing. I got nothing for you. I'm guessing Ticketmaster.com?
I believe the Offspring show is part of the Orange County Fair concert series, Ralph.
Okay.
So maybe that would be a clue as to where one might investigate to purchase the same.
Well, good. We're sending them on a treasure hunt to try to find about how to go about buying the tickets for the Offspring.
So you'll get a password, and then you'll have to rent a car, and then you'll have to go to the desert.
Look for the big W. Some crossing palm trees, then dig there. And then when you find the box, open it up, and there's a doubloon in there that's got a code word on it. Use that to the guy pushing the shopping cart down the strand. He's actually undercover, and he will give you a stuffed monkey. Inside that monkey is a key to a safety deposit box. That's a Chase bank somewhere in the greater Southern California area.
I don't know
Dr. X.
Why our giveaways become an episode of The Blacklist, but that's where we're at.
I don't either. I wish Red was here now. I could just ask him to take me out. Mark Wahlberg.
Guilty.
He's not charged with anything. Oh. He was on stage at CinemaCon on Monday night. Paramount Pictures was there as well, giving presentations of their upcoming films, including Michael Bay's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And Michael Bay's Transformers Age of Extinction. Mark joked to the audience when he took the stage, "I thought I was here for a grand opening of Wahlberg's Las Vegas."
Ah, see what he did?
Yeah. Then he started talking about how happy he was to be in the fourth installment in the Transformers saga with this memorable quote, "I feel like it's the most iconic franchise in movie history."
Wow.
To which at that point the entire audience got up and walked out of the theater.
No, well, certainly more so than Lord of the Rings or Star Wars.
Or a little something we like to call James Bond.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Dare I go on? Most iconic franchise in movie history.
Ticketmaster!
There's our crack staff right on top of it.
Ticketmaster.com.
Thank you, Dave, the King of Mexico.
How about the Godfather series, by the way?
Yeah.
That was nothing.
How about no Transformers?
How about any film that had more than one?
Right.
Rocky, Terminator.
Sure. Alien.
Aliens.
Indiana Jones.
Any.
All of those.
Any film that had a second or third.
Yeah.
Iron Man, by the way.
Yep. Avengers. Batman. Spider-Man.
Yeah. Nope.
You just go on and on and on.
Most iconic of all time.
Franchise in movie history.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yes. Right. Those. Veronica Mars. Getting tired of people lying to me. I'm getting tired of it, damn it. Everybody's pregnant, unless they're lying to me. Stacey Keibler is expecting a baby this summer. She just got married to her baby daddy a few weeks ago in Mexico. Jared Pobre is his name. Now, pobre in Mexican, doesn't that mean poor?
I believe so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Don't marry a poor guy, just Stacy Keibler. And Mila Kunis announced that she's pregnant with Ashton Kutcher's baby. So, everybody's getting knocked up. Seems to be the thing to do.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
No, they do not, sir. Ticketmaster.com!
Well, now we know. We're yeah. 8 minutes later.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Everybody's ready to go home, right? Should we all go
home?
Yeah,
let's do
that. I think it's our best. Of all our options, I believe it's the best. Today's celebrity birthdays. Aretha Franklin is 72 years old. Elton John is 67. Marsha Cross turns 52. Sarah Jessica Parker is 49 years old today. Got her a big bale of hay for her birthday.
Oh, she likes that. It.
Danica Patrick, race car driver, 32 years old. Actress Jenny Slate. I love Jenny Slate.
I do, too.
Funny,
hilarious.
Talented, beautiful. She's got the whole package, 32 years old. Speaking of the whole package, Catherine McPhee. I still got the McPhee-ver. She's 30 years old today. Ryan Lewis of Macklemore and Ryan Lewis is 26 years old, as is Big Sean, the rapper. And Ali McCulka of Ali and AJ is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, we'll come back with more Coachella tickets at 9 o'clock. Leo Natianian from Glendale won the tickets this hour. Have them for you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. I think we'll also have some more Captain America tickets for you tomorrow. We got more Offspring tickets tomorrow. Billy on the Street is going to be joining us. Actor, comedian Billy Eichner will be here. The Smartest Man in Comedy, Greg Proops, on the program tomorrow. And Adam Carolla. All of that on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. See you then here on